Here we go again.
It's time to talk.
I thought it was April Fool's Day when I heard that one. Get me off the air before I have a heart attack. We will have nothing to see for it. There's been many false dawns.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
The kindness of Cork people who never let you down.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversations. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Story from over the weekend that dominated many of the newspapers, and I see a lot of comment on it on social media, is a story from many of the newspapers, Red Tops and indeed the broadsheets, of a man who admitted filming himself. Listen, I want to warn people on this. This is upsetting and disturbing. A man who admitted filming himself carrying out vile sex acts on an infant boy and then went and shared the video footage with others via a social media platform. He got a 6-year jail sentence with a final 2 years suspended, which means the jail sentence is 4 years and possibly less with good behaviour. It's Jamie Marshall from Limerick. He had 133 previous convictions, pleaded guilty to possessing child pornography, producing child pornography, distributing child pornography, defilement of a child, using communication technology to facilitate the exploitation of a child back in 2020. He was facing a maximum life sentence for the defilement charge, a maximum sentence of 5 years for the possession charge, up to 14 years for each of the other three charges, including producing child pornography, distributing, communication technology. So there was a lot at stake here with regards to various sentencings. He said that because he was taking cocaine, and when he took the drug, he became a creep. Later in court, his senior counsel said he must accept what he did. No one is to blame but himself. He's deeply ashamed, and he no longer blames the cocaine. So what people were disturbed about this, of course, were the actual the criminality of what he was engaging in, particularly with regards to young children, and secondly, the actual sentencing, that we could have a sentence of 6 years with two suspended. So that's dominating many of the newspapers on the weekend and still online this morning. And another one that Barry Roach is covering, and I saw it online, it's probably picked up in the Irish Times paper proper, and this is the Guardian Cork. They're now investigating. There was an attack by a gang of men on a home and a woman and her young child, her young children, I should say, out in Blackpool. Now, it's being investigated by Gardaí at Watercourse Road Garda Station. They've started to harvest, CCTV footage. I'll talk with Barry Roach on this later on. But they're trying to identify this gang of at least 10 men. Arrived at this house and Sunday School Lane in Blackpool, started smashing the doors and smashing the windows. And on Thursday, they had hurleys and baseball bats and broke into the house, then went on to terrorize the 30-year-old mother. She was at home with her children. And they are wondering whether this is in retaliation for an earlier incident where a man was shot at his home elsewhere in the city. Sometimes I think we're talking about major metropolises, the likes of London or New York, when I talk of stories and events in our city these days. But that incident was where a man suffered a gunshot wound to the shoulder 7:30 in the morning. A 22-year-old shot in the Mahon area. And they're wondering whether the two of those are connected. So that's a fairly alarming way to start the program on this week that we have. Apparently, then on top of everything else, there wasn't bad enough for you. Cork Bio are sharing video footage this morning. And thank you to Paul Byrne from Virgin for alerting me to this one, where six people were arrested after a late night brawl. Now, this is in and around Oliver Plunkett Street, the junction of Oliver Plunkett Street and Caroline Street. So there's pubs and clubs and things there, in Cypress Avenue is in that general area. But my God, to call it a brawl is an understatement. Like, you got 15 or 20 people going at it, hammer and tongs. Fellas, young enough, big buff, muscly fellas, a lot of them. One guy actually decides to resort to trying to smash chairs over people's heads, and then he gets set upon by a gang, and they are literally punching and kicking the living daylights out of each other. 10 o'clock last night, in the middle of the city. What is that about? Like, where does all of this anger come from? Is it like there were six people arrested? I mean, the guards weren't messing around here. They got on it fast enough and arrested six of them. Some people are calling it wasn't a brawl or a scuffle. It was a lot worse than that, to be honest. Perhaps you were there or witnessed it. Text 0868104106. Who'd want to go into the city, for a late night pint or a bit of food or a bit of food and then go to a pub? You're walking around Oliver Plunkett Street and this stuff is happening. Oh my God. In other news then, The Independent and many of the papers are talking about Fianna Fáil. Two different things going on here. They probably, with regards to the promise of an extra €12 on the pension, they probably want to make some sort of a sweetheart deal with their, you know, their maybe their more loyal voters, maybe an elderly cohort of voters who might be looking at Sinn Féin. So they come out now with tax packages that would be on average worth about €1,200 per person in the upcoming budget later in the year. So they're promising child benefit will go up by a tenner a month. The pension will go up by €12 a month. And this is the budget which will be ahead of the general election. So they really are throwing open the purse strings and flashing the cash. Now, Micheál Martin's denied that this kind of potential giveaway is throwing money at the electorate ahead of a general election. But we all know better, don't we? So the personal tax package could be up to €1,200 per person. But you're looking at a bit of tinkering around tax credits, you know, where you'd go into the tax rate and then move from one tax band to the other. And a little bit of tinkering then to the much hated USC. Now, don't think for a moment that that's ever going to be abolished. They'll just play with it a little bit. So this morning, the Red Tops, then like the Star, talk about the child benefit increase of a tenner. And they say that, you know, this is certainly going to be a welcome addition to a household budget. If more children you have, of course, the more it will benefit you. But at the same time, for those that are scrambling to look for a house, it's been reported this morning that all over the entire country, there were 38 properties within the HAP scheme available to rent in the month of March. 38 of them. And would you believe, in 10 of the areas, there were 16 surveyed in total, but in 10 of them, including Cork City, there was no HAP properties to rent in the four household categories studied. So in Cork, none at all. I mean, that is absolutely shameful for whatever reason, and I'm quite sure there are varied reasons as to why. One of them, of course, less and less landlords staying in the market. And then, of course, another story from over the weekend still dominates the Red Tops this morning. It's out of Sydney, where this man knifed and killed six people. Knifed them, stabbed them to death in a shopping mall in Sydney. Known to police there, for sure he was. And also, apparently, according to his family, the 40-year-old was suffering from mental health issues since his teen years. Actually, one of the Red Tops, the Mirror this morning, hones in on the heroic security guard who tried to stop him. His family even were even asking after the inspector, Amy Scott, who shot the gunman dead. So the family are absolutely traumatised about what their son did. But they said, we have no issues with the police officer who shot our son, as she was only doing her job to protect others, and we hope she's coping all right. And then, of course, the news coming out of the Middle East with Iran firing missiles and rockets at Israel. And now the Israelis saying, this is far from over. You will pay the price for this. This morning, the Red Tops, including the Mirror, say, step back from the brink, as in Israel step back from the brink. Do not retaliate. But from what I'm seeing in the papers this morning, the president of Israel says it's time the world faced this evil empire that is Tehran. And I also see this morning Joe Biden telling Benjamin Netanyahu to think carefully before he makes his next move. So it's time the world faces the evil empire of Tehran, is the front page headline making the Mail today, because Israel have said that they will exact a price for this, and there will be revenge following the unprecedented missile and drone attack by Iran on Israel. Papers this morning then talk about, trying to earn a living or earn a crust here, particularly if you're in hospitality. We have a new president of the Irish Hotels Federation, Michael Magner. He runs the marvellous Vienna Woods Hotel, and he says they need the 9% VAT rate back. It's got to be cut back from 13%, and if it isn't, according to the front page of the Echo this morning, there will be a tsunami of costs that will see more and more restaurants and indeed hotels and possibly pubs and pubs that do food closing down for some areas of the country because of the lack of accommodation for tourists. The summer season and the tourist season is lost already. And then, despite all of the promises that are made by, certainly by Simon Harris, when he was addressing the Fine Gael faithful with regards to health and welfare and mental health and people with, you know, all different issues that need to be dealt with, and where the state are responsible to provide the services for them. You have Brooklodge National School, who were given a commitment that they would get funding for a second class for children on the autism spectrum. They have now been given the devastating news, front page of the Echo today, that they will not now be given a second special education class, and even the option of building a purpose-built modular building to accommodate special education students is no longer available. Isn't that very cruel and very unkind to offer it, suggest that it will be okay, it's going to happen, and then say, sorry, I don't know what they're going to blame. They can't blame a lack of money, there's plenty of that. They can't blame budgets. What else could they blame? Maybe they could blame something to do with the HSE hiring freeze. I have no idea. Somebody who is in jail, though, and doing time is the front page of the Sun today, and that's Aisling Murphy's evil killer. You know him. Who doesn't know Joseph Pushka's name? He's gone around the jail now saying, I didn't do it. They got the wrong man. Prison source within the prison said, this is a very interesting character. He is the most arrogant person you could ever meet. That's the front of the Sun today. And then you see the crazy driving of people these days. David Forsyth in the Examiner this morning has a court report involving an 18-year-old who was caught speeding. He was clocked by an Garda Síochána doing 183 kilometres. And the judge said he was driving like as if he was actually playing a video game. Sadly, and all too often, people of that young age feel they're invincible. And maybe what they see playing video games, they think actually they can, you know, that they can replay in real life without any consequences, death or injury. But anyway, a fellow called Mark Earle, he's 19 now, he's 18 at the time, caught speeding on the M8 motorway last summer, 4:05 in the afternoon, and the Gardaí were there, of course, and they clocked his grey Volkswagen Passat, overtaking several other cars, 183 kilometres in a 120 kilometre zone. What did he get for it? He was disqualified from driving for 2 years and fined €100 with 2 months to pay. I think that the disqualification from driving for 2 years is very good in that regard. He'll have to cool his heels now, maybe learn from it. Wondering about the fines, though. They're rather insubstantial fines in the scheme of things, aren't they? And then the awfully sad news from this time last week, there on April 4th, where we heard of the awful blaze that led to the death of John Gabriel O'Donnell down on the Lower Glanmire Road. Awfully, awfully sad. Do you remember the story? It's understood that on the day they were so happy, and all of the family were so happy, because on the day they died on the blaze, they'd been celebrating the birth of a grandchild. And later that day, blaze in the house, and their lives are taken. So the funeral of the couple who died in the house fire will take place this week. And there's an update on that in this morning's Echo newspaper. Text 0868 104 106, lads. We've got calls on the way.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Text 0868 104 106. So back to one of the events I mentioned, or two actually, and they think they may well be connected, over the past few days. Barry Roach had copy from the back end of last week, where Gardaí are investigating, well, they'd be investigating two different incidents. One is the shooting in Mahon, and then is the gang of men entering and armed with hurleys and baseball bats into a home in Blackpool. Barry Road, Southern correspondent from the Irish Times, joins me over phone. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Could we maybe start first with the shooting in Mahon and tell us a little bit about that? 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, details are sketchy because the man essentially hasn't made any complaints to Gardaí, but the man presented at CUH on Thursday morning, after 7:30, and I think the hospital notified Gardaí he'd been shot in the shoulder, 22-year-old guy, from Mahon. Gardaí went there, but the man wouldn't make any complaint. So Gardaí began an investigation. They went down to Mahon, cordoned off an area, began searching there, checking CCTV in Ballinure Avenue, but the fact that he hasn't made any complaints, I suppose, hasn't assisted them. They've no, and or didn't make any, give any explanation as to why or how he was shot.
Yeah.
And the other thing then I was inquiring about was, I said, surely there would be ballistics, in the sense that Gardaí would, doctors would remove the bullet or whatever projectile it did to his shoulder. No, sorry, I should say the injuries weren't life-threatening as well. That's important to say. But my understanding is I don't think they have, so that would, I don't know if firearms expert, but that would suggest it was a pretty small, maybe a pellet or something like that went in. So that's where that stands at the moment.
And is there tension in the area? Do you know if there's possibility of some feud?
Well, that's the suspicion on the part of Gardaí, but my understanding is things have been very quiet since Thursday in Mahon. I was checking again this morning, was there anything, and I was told not a peep overnight, so that's quiet. But then at around 2:30 on Thursday, 2:30 in the afternoon, a group, I at the time I thought there were 10, but I got there were 14 fellas turned up, sort of wearing scarves and things, but armed with baseball bats and hurleys, and they went into Sunday School Lane in Blackpool, and for listeners, I had to Google this myself. I was explaining to me where it was, but just to check, you come down from Shandon, or from Shandon Street, down Gerald Griffin Street, go through the lights there at the bottom of Gerald Griffin Street, as if you're, and don't turn up for Neptune, but continue Great William O'Brien Street, heading for Blackpool Church, the Wally Barbers, but into the left there, there's a cul-de-sac, and that's where Sunday School Lane is. And at about 2:30 on Thursday, as I say, a group of these guys, about 14 of them, turned up armed with baseball bats and hurleys. Now, I saw footage of it shown to me. I mean, some of the hurleys were, they looked like kids' hurleys, to be honest. They were very short, even allowing for the fact that hurley length has changed a lot since I was playing. But they smashed in windows and doors of the house, went in there. There was a woman in there with a number of kids. She was quite terrified by it, but they left. The man of the house wasn't there, whom we presume, our Gardaí presume they were looking for. They left. Now, to be honest, it was over pretty quickly. From what I could gather, it was over maybe a minute, 2 minutes sort of thing. It wasn't, and they didn't sort of, not that this excuses it anyway, but they didn't sort of rush in a rage. They sort of sauntered up and put them in the windows. Two or three went in and came out. But Gardaí are wondering, or inquiring, or investigating whether that may be linked to the shooting in Mahon. No, they've got no complaint there either from the woman there. So they've two incidents, but no complaints.
You don't need complaints to investigate, you don't, Barry, though, you don't.
Well, you don't, but in terms, it does assist, obviously. And
obviously.
The fact that they have CCTV footage, in this case, I think is going to be of great assistance to them. There have been no arrests in this particular incident yet. But the fact, and there's no, they're investigating a number of lines of inquiry, I suppose, but one clear one that they are investigating is whether the two incidents are linked, because they happened same day, albeit different sides of the city, but both within a couple of hours of each other. So wondering what would prompt the thing in Blackpool. Was that related to the thing in Mahon?
Yeah, I mean, no one was physically injured, but yet you did have a young woman with young children terrorised. She's going to have to deal with what happened, but one wonders, you know, how the children are, having witnessed and heard and saw what they saw. It would leave scars, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, your house is your castle, I suppose. When somebody puts in your door and your windows like that, it must be terrible. And at 2:30 in the afternoon as well, you know, a woman at home with the kids, it's pretty scary stuff. And again, I was checking with Gardaí in Blackpool, there hasn't been any further incidents there either, thankfully. But what the background to the whole, if they are related, what the whole background to it is, Gardaí even increased patrols, my understanding is, in both Blackpool and Mahon on foot of this. But so far, things thankfully haven't kicked off, if they are related.
Okay, thanks as always, Barry Roach. An update on two possibly connected incidents, one in Mahon and then later in the same day out in Blackpool. I asked the question as to whether there is much tension down in the Mahon area for more than one reason. I remember dealing on the air some months ago and talking with people who actually want, and listen, no disrespect to the greater community down in Mahon, who do their best and get on with their lives and live peaceful lives. And, you know, talking to Terry Shannon last week, they're investing huge amounts of money, like millions, in improving everything down there with regards to moving about and paths and cycle lanes and green areas and parking and things like that. But I have spoken in the past of people who just want out. They want out. They either want to sell up their homes, or they want city council to move them. Some people are elderly, they're getting on a bit, and they just want a quieter life and just don't like it. So that's unfortunate. At the same time then, I hate being the harbinger of bad news, but I did mention a very busy few days for on Garda Síochána, and amongst them, of course, was the quick reaction of the Gardaí to Caroline Street last night, following a major fight on the junction of Caroline Street and Oliver Plunkett Street. Don't know why these things kick off. I really have no idea. I don't know whether it's drug related debated whether all fueled up on some, or some of them could well be fueled up on coke or whatever the case may be that makes them so angry. Or why these things start? What is it? Is it looking the wrong way? You know, is it saying something? Is it pushing up against someone? Is it spilling someone's pint? Is it a feud? Or what is the story? But anyway, what we do know now is that six people have been arrested after the late night brawl in Cork City Centre. And after much of what we spoke about last week with regards to, say, the likes of Michael Collins, the TD down in West Cork, who gave that interview to Hot Prep, and he was very open, actually, on the air with me as to his beliefs on societal issues, or indeed what other people were saying regarding our sentencing policies in this country. Maybe these are the kind of things that we need to get an awful lot tougher on. Now, this will come before the court and won't be able to say anything about it at that stage, but where you wouldn't see a suspended sentence if the video footage showed people actually identifying them involved in a brawl like this, that it really would lead to some kind of a custodial sentence, even if it was an, even if it was on the short side, that that would make a huge difference. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818104106. Can I just mention, because I've had this for some time, earlier in the week, last week, I mentioned a Facebook group called Are We Dating the Same Guy? And one fella that was on it is now suing 50 women for defamation, for saying things about him online that had led to him suffering from depression, anxiety, stress, etc., etc. And it's the kind of thing you read in the Red Top and you kind of roll your eyes up to heaven and say, huh, that's a bit of a crazy one. But then two different people got in touch with me, and one of them says, don't give up my details, but I was also the victim of defamation on this group called Are We Dating the Same Guy, in which a woman I never ever met not only spread gossip and rumors about me, but also told the thousands of members of the group where I worked. You can imagine the uproar if it was the other way around, Neil, and guys were naming and shaming women online like this. These gangs of women can't seem to understand that being a strong, independent woman doesn't mean you should try to ruin every man's life because you might have had a disagreement with your ex in the past, or indeed you are in an abusive relationship. I think women these days, specifically a lot of Cork women, are an utter disgrace with the way they gang up on people. Not only each other, but everyone else around them. They're bitter, ignorant people. And I hope this man who's suing gets the justice he deserves after these women tried to ruin his life. Please don't give up my details. I live with this on a daily basis. Thank you for that. I'm wondering, would there be, let's say if there was a guy who was very abusive and physically violent to partners and really, was a danger in a relationship, should women then perhaps be in a position to say, you know, are we dating the same guy? Because if you're dating this guy or thinking of dating this guy, let me tell you what he did to me. Is that acceptable? I don't know. The other one, don't give up my details. I have a very professional job in law enforcement and I can speak out on the media. I really can't stress that enough. Well, don't worry about that. I won't do that. I'm not sure if you're aware of the group. Are We Dating the Same Guy? Cork, Ireland is a group, and it seems that it's set up by women who basically slander men and say horrible things about them, most of which is not true. They post up pictures of the man in question with a post and people comment below it and spread horrible lies. I know from experiences I've been recently put into this group, which I will get into shortly. I also know of another man who would live not far from me, who was put up in this group about a year ago and was totally destroyed, and a lot of lies were told about him. He contemplated ending his own life on a number of occasions and still suffers to this day. He has not gone out socially in over 12 months. My own story is recently I've been put on this group by a female whom I do not know. My whole previous relationship and marriage issues have been aired in this group and twisted into a narrative to suit them. There's been comments added about me from other women spreading lies and trying to add legs and tails to feed into this narrative. I have some screenshots of this group for reference. Anything which has went on between me and my ex, it should be private, between the couple. We're not on bad terms, so whatever as this group would have people think is not true. This has seriously impacted my mental health. I am struggling to go outside the door most days because of it, but I drag myself out as I do not want to let them win. But I'm afraid that everyone knows and believes this hate and lies spread about me, as there are 43,000 members in this group. I do try to walk with my head held high, but inside it's eating me, the lies they've spread about me. This group, even if you search it on Facebook, it doesn't come up. It's secret or something like that. I'm not sure of the ins and outs. You have to be invited by someone into the group to get in. And they even have a policy of no screenshots of the group to protect members. More like to protect them from spreading lies and slandering people online. And for the lack of a better term, being schoolyard bullies. It's only a matter of time, you know, before a man takes his own life because of this, if it hasn't happened already. This is a serious issue, as people have enough going on in their lives and have to deal with this kind of lies being spread about them. Nobody deserves that. There are two sides, remember, to every story. I live in the real world, Neil. I'm not the perfect man. Who is? I have had arguments with my ex-wife, yes. What couple doesn't? And I know there's men out there who sleep with multiple women at the same time, and I understand women should protect themselves against this. But this group goes far and beyond that, to the point that men's lives are affected and jobs affected. I'm pretty sure if the shoe was on the other foot, a lot of these women would not tolerate it. I think it's something that definitely needs to be raised on your show, as I imagine countless other men have been affected, like I have been and others I know. I'm glad I reached out to you, as I'm seriously suffering mentally over this, and it helps to write this in the hope that it could be exposed and stop, if at all possible. Don't know that it ever will be stopped, my friend. I really don't. I'd be interested to hear if there are other people who've also found themselves in a similar situation to you. It's a bit like many other aspects of social media and online, particularly when it's private. It would be very, very hard to police it or shut it down. It will just open in another way, in another manner. It's awfully, awfully sad. But I think by reading out the emails or the texts, or perhaps talking to people who are suffering at the hands of individuals like that, it may help to have people, you know, maybe have a pang of conscience and to back off. I mean, I think in the world that we live in now, there probably is some kind of a role for people to warn each other with regards to men, or indeed women, for that matter, who could well be dangerous partners or relationship with somebody who's come out of a relationship with this individual who was physically abusive, coercive, mentally torturing, and things like that. But I understand that it can go too far. And all this started, actually, with a chap, I think, in Italy, who is taking legal action against something in the region of 50 women for the impact on his own mental health. But if you do want to contribute, please do. You can always email Neil at redfm.ie, and I never, ever give away anybody's private information, ever. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
People share their life stories with me and have done for many, 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 many years, and I'm obliged to every one of them. I hope that by sharing it helps in one some way, shape or fashion. My conversation with Pat Phelan on air, following that handwritten letter that got from a very worried and distraught mother about her son's drinking, prompted another one. I've been an active alcoholic since my separation from my ex-wife. Before I met her, I was a heavy drinker. I could afford it. But when I got serious with her, she threw the cards on the table and I gave up with her help, and I stayed sober for 22 years. Not a drop passed my lips. I had no compulsion to drink. We separated because we lost the good life, and we have no children. I honestly went through a midlife crisis, I think. I went on dating sites, met loads, just for company and for a chat. After a while, I didn't feel interested in a relationship, so I began to drink, and then began to drink more and more, and drink became my relationship instead once again. Having fought it for 22 years, it was like I had never given up. In short, after 7 treatments, 22 years of sobriety, now again, I am back where I was, drinking bottle after bottle. I'm so lonesome. There's no conversation, as I'm home alone now. Nothing. I had to give up work because I'm depressed and live with total anxiety. I'm taking loads of medication, but the honest thing is, I know my drinking is the problem. I'm an educated man, but alcohol always has a hold on me, and it's a lonesome, lonesome life. That's awfully sad. I don't know whether, you know, the chats that we had on Friday will help you in any way, shape or form to get back on the wagon, to try again, to forget about those years, you know, of sadness, the breakup of the relationship. Forget the fact that you were off it for 22 years. And as Pat Phelan would say, just do it for today. You lay your head in the pillow then tonight, you'll say, well, that was a good day. Get up in the morning, perhaps go to an AA meeting, perhaps go to an AA meeting every day. But get up in the morning and do it again, hard as it is, and then lay your head on the pillow tomorrow night and say, that was another good day. And just take it one day at a time. Text 0868 104 106. But thanks to everybody that does reach out and share. A lot of the time it can come as, you know, a help to people who are also feeling alone, isolated, and feeling that they have all the troubles in the world and every trouble that they have is exclusively theirs alone. It isn't always that way. Got an email in over the weekend. My mother goes to the Macaulay Daycare Centre in Middleton. The centre looks after vulnerable older people, some of them with dementia, some of them with Alzheimer's. All of the service users' families were contacted on Friday to say that due to the HSC recruitment freeze, the service is being cut completely. All of the 100 users rely on this centre for social interaction. They're devastated. They'll certainly decline as a result. People are very angry about this. Not great, is it, for Simon Harris's first few days, citing that he will change things for older people and for people with disabilities. Oh, what actually, just what exactly is it that Simon Harris promised? And already these promises are being broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, over the past 8 years, there has been an unprecedented investment in our health service. The budget has actually doubled. We have the best people working in our health service, and I thank each and every one of them. This year, the focus must be on improving access, opening more beds, more operating theatres, and ensuring we train and recruit more GPs, more consultants, more nurses, more therapists than ever before. We have a plan to deliver 1,500 more beds and recruit more staff. And I also want to work with government colleagues to introduce the Mental Health Bill and reform mental health services, because this is one of the greatest challenges we face. I also want to change how we care for older people in this country. And a commission on care has now been established. And as Taoiseach, I will work to support that wholeheartedly. This party will always be a party that will stand up for older people. We've increased the old age pension over the past three budgets, and every single year Fine Gael is in government, we will do more for our older citizens. Colleagues, to people with disabilities watching here tonight, I want to talk to you directly. Under my leadership, your voice will be heard. I will establish and personally chair a cabinet committee to break down silos and make positive change happen more quickly. The backlog in assessments of needs has to be unblocked once and for all. We've made progress on special education and provided it the biggest budget ever. We've introduced college courses for students with intellectual disabilities, but we have so much more to do. And this year, we will ratify the optional protocol to the UN Convention for the Rights of People with a Disability.
All right, I wanted to play that because he covered an awful lot of aspects that are impacting on people's lives on a daily basis. Firstly, he mentioned clearing the backlog and unblocking the backlog. Don't you think if we had a seven-day health service, right, that actually worked every single day rather than Monday to Friday, where we had consultants working across the weekends, where we had surgery taking place across the weekends, where we had all of the different departments that deal with people's health and welfare open 7 days. I'm not saying 24/7, but a start would be 7 days rather than everything closing down on a Friday and then grinding back up then again on a Monday morning. I mean, surely be to God, that would be a sensible approach. Now, he touched on mental health services. He touched on how we care for older people. He touched on people with disabilities, all of those things. And then we wake up on a Monday morning, we hear of a daycare centre in Middleton possibly being closed down. And again, one of the reasons for it is, of course, he wouldn't mention in any of his speeches, Simon Harris. He's got a big gig ahead of him. I appreciate that. He didn't once mention getting rid of the HSE recruitment freeze that's being blamed for everything these days. But anyway, let me get back to the phone lines. Anne Carney is a service user at the Macaulay Daycare Centre. She's 94 years young and, you know, enjoying life to the full. Anne, good morning. Have I given away a state secret there, have I?
More or less.
I'm sorry.
It's under my head.
It's out now because it's on the screen. My apologies. If I see it on the screen, I usually
accepted.
Anyway, they tell me you carry on like a 64-year-old anyway, so don't worry about it.
Well, you're always told to pretend that you're about 20 years younger than what you are. So at the moment, now I'm 82.
Okay. So tell me about the centre, and because I'm told there's a risk it's going to close, because it's closed already. Isn't it closed for a few days? What's the problem?
It is. It's closed for a few days. case each week simply because we're awfully short of staff. And the greatest thing of all is that we don't have a chef. And we don't have a chef since last Christmas, and there's no sign of anyone being replaced. Now, that's because of the embargo, of course, that the HSE is implying at the moment. So we're asking them to, for God's sake, lift that and let's get on with our lives again as we were before.
Okay, so tell us...
100 people.
100 people, yeah.
At least 100 people will have their day ended if this centre closes. And it will be a big... I speak for all my companions at the centre when I say that it's a day that's full of enjoyment, companionship, togetherness and chat.
Can I just read out a couple of paragraphs from another email? It says that it's a very badly needed service in the community for those who attend, because you can see a nurse there, a podiatrist there, there's medical staff there. So if there's something wrong with somebody, be maybe somebody getting on a bit in age, or they might have, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's, they can be helped. It's also a great social outing. Some of the people come from remote areas of East Cork. People come from Carrigtwohill or Youghal, come into Middleton. Somebody else was texting saying they sing, they dance, they play bingo, they generally have a good chat with one another. My own mother attends once a week, and every week it's the day in the week that she really looks forward to.
It's the highlight of my week. This day is tomorrow now, Tuesday, which is now at the moment turned off. I don't go at all. So I have to say, I live alone in the heart of the country. I don't see anyone from possibly week to week.
Okay.
And you can imagine how I look forward to this Tuesday. I'm taken down by taxi, which is a great help, of course, because at 94, you can imagine I don't drive anymore. I did, but I don't drive anymore.
Okay. So when you would go in there, Anne Carney, what would the day be like?
Well, we all gather together and have a chat, first of all, and, you know, discuss maybe all week past and, you know, have a chat together. Then after that, we have a very nice cup of tea and a lovely scone. And then after that, we engage in the bingo, which is a great advantage altogether. We have 2 or 3 games each Tuesday every week. And little prizes being given out, which are, you know, a little bonus and helps you to concentrate.
Do you have a dance?
Oh, yes, we have a dance, We play cards, we play 45. We do decorations and things for Christmas. We do little trees and Easter eggs at Easter. Name it, we do it all.
It's vitally...
Everything is included that you can think of.
So it's vitally important. So your day would be a Tuesday, and then of a Wednesday, another group of people come in, and they also have the same kind of fun and interaction that you do. Somebody else on a Thursday.
The same.
And was it a case that there was lunch there as well?
Oh, of course there was lunch. And now we have lunch too at, maybe at a lesser degree, but everybody is trying to do the best they can. The staff are bending over backwards to try and keep us all fed and watered and heated.
You used to have a 4-course meal that was cooked by a chef at the centre.
We had a brilliant chef, and I'm afraid she left just before Christmas, never to be replaced, as I said before, about this awful embargo that they're engaged in.
So when that chef left, they're not allowed to replace them. So where's the food coming from now, Anne?
Well, I don't know. It's coming from, possibly from some establishment or something that's, making it en masse.
Okay, and what would you typically get? Would you get the dinner there, like?
Oh, you would. You'd get soup first, and then you get the main course. You'd have a choice between fish or meat, and then you have a very nice dessert, and after that there's tea and a biscuit.
Wow. Sounds ideal.
I echo the wow.
So you'd have yourself and 25 others on the Tuesday, as I say, more on the Monday and the Wednesday and the Thursday. And you'd look forward to meeting up with your pals every single week.
Well, of course I do. I have a few neighbours there too, of course, that I don't see from one Tuesday to the other, because as you can see, and with this fierce bad weather into the bargain, we're more or less encased altogether now.
And how would you...
go outside the door.
Yeah, and how would you feel if it were to close?
Good Almighty, I don't know how I'd get on. I just don't know how I'd survive, to tell you the truth. And I'm not exaggerating there either. It really means a terrible amount to me. I really could Wednesday and I'll do you. Telling you, you know, what it means to me.
And would it...
I'm going there for the past 6 years and I never missed a day.
And at Christmas time, is it very special there as well?
Oh, very. Oh, we have do Christmas dinner. We even have a couple of them. And we'd have one in the centre and then we'd have one in the hotel. And we'd have a night out. We'd have dancing and singing and everything, a band, of course.
And they say...
The hotel.
And they say that there's lots of money in the country, that we're not short of cash.
Oh, yes, there is. But I'm afraid it's all put very badly put to use.
Yeah. What do you make of the state of the country at the moment? You'd have seen a lot down through the years.
Oh, an awful lot. An awful lot. Oh, there's terrible changes altogether. Desperate to the world. Desperate, yeah. Oh, yes, it's very hard to live now, you know. It's very hard to live on a pension. You have to have saved for it and for your old age and try and do the best you can.
I know.
Get along the best way you can.
I know. Did you vote all those years? Did you vote?
I did. I never failed, yeah. Yeah.
I hear that
Don't ask me how, no, I won't tell you.
A little birdie tell me that you Google away all the time, that you're online a lot, are you?
Yeah, well, I do crosswords. I have to Google for that reason, because I suppose I cheat. Well, I'm entitled to, haven't I?
What do you do with the Irish Times crossword and you cheat online, is it?
God, no, I wouldn't be that good. No, the Farmer's Journal.
And you go online to find out what the answer to the word is it?
I'm afraid so.
We're getting fierce confessions out of you this morning, aren't we?
I'm afraid so again.
And how come you're how come you're so hale and hearty, mentally and physically? What's the secret?
Well, I keep going the best way I can. I get up every morning and I have the day allocated to what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to tell you the truth, I haven't time to be... lonely or whatever, but I am lonely. My husband died 5 years ago and I have no family, which makes it all the lonelier still, making Tuesday all the better again.
Of course it makes Tuesday all the better again. And some of the service users wouldn't be as blessed, say, as your good self. They could be living with dementia or Alzheimer's, but it's a special day for them as well. You probably interact with those people also, yeah?
Yes, if they're there, we help them, each and everyone that's as you say, as good as I am, help wherever there's a bit of help needed, if we can.
Yeah, it would be very...
We all would be too sturdy on our legs, you know.
You sound to me that you got a lot of mileage on the clock yet.
Yeah, but I have a lot of mileage done.
You have. Fairness to you.
I have a lot of mileage on them, I've done.
Have you gardened? Do you do a bit of gardening? Do you keep yourself busy outdoors?
I do in the summer, I do. I have a small garden and I do a bit, Jeff.
Yeah, I have
friends that give me a help with the garden because I wouldn't be able to shovel out that now.
Yeah, well, anymore. I mean, you probably read books as well and you have the crosswords and turf fire in the winter,
I
suppose.
I read an awful lot.
Listen, it's lovely talking to you this morning. You really are a tonic for the troops. As to what happens with regards to your day centre, I have a response here from the HSE, which I'll read out, so you can have a listen to
all
right? They're saying, this is a response to your query. They're saying, we regret the distress service users and their families are currently experiencing as services are temporarily paused at the daycare centre. Recruitment challenges are disrupting the services provided, resulting in the temporary closure. We remain dedicated to resuming services, which delivers essential service to people in the community, etc., etc., etc. We reassure service users and their families that we are working urgently with key stakeholders and expect the service will resume operation later this week. Would that make you feel any better, that there's hope yet?
I just hope that they all keep to their promises. I hope it isn't all just hot air.
Well, we'll be keeping the pressure on them anyway on behalf of everybody down there that uses the service.
I'm asking them now again to please lift that embargo and let's get on with what we were doing with the past couple of years, 22, I think.
Is it 22 years there?
It is, yeah. It is. Mary McAleese opened it.
Yeah, and I wonder who's going to close it. It's very important for people living in...
I'll give it three guesses.
I know we'll close it. I tell you one thing. These services are so important to people who are living alone, living in rural areas, who can't get around, mightn't see many people from one end of the week to the other. Put in a service like this and
anyone from one of the way to the other. It's not a matter of supposing at all. They just don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and every whole single soul going in there depends on it with their life, honestly.
It would be so
it's
cruel.
It's a day of days. And okay. I can't say any more about it, but it's a day of days.
It's lovely chatting with you, Anne Carney. You do represent many of the services. You're welcome. You're welcome. Stay in touch. We'll have some more calls after 10. Text 0868 104 106. It's so cruel, isn't it? In so many different ways, this so-called recruitment challenges because of the embargo, which means, for those of you who don't know it, there is a ban on hiring within the HSE. Can you believe it? In spite of our health challenges, in spite of where we're at. Near Simon Harris talking about that when he was addressing the fateful Didger. Text 0868 104 106. Unreal.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Monday morning, so it's Monday Munchies, lads, courtesy of ourselves and Luso Cork. You can see all of their delicious cakes and biscuity creations at www.lusocork.ie. That's L-U-S-S-O cork.ie. This week we have the most fantastic 8-inch tall triple Belgian chocolate biscuit cake. It is really a delightful thing. Actually, their photography online is just amazing. You see all of the creations they make at Luso in Ballincollig. So this is an 8-incher triple Belgian chocolate biscuit cake surrounded in chocolate Italian meringue, buttercream, set on a chocolate board. For extra yumminess, it's part of the Luso Celebration Cake range, and you and your colleagues will be slicing into it if you're lucky enough to win it this lunchtime. So text who you are and where you are to 086 8104 106. We'll start the shoutouts in half an hour's time, so wherever you're working, let us know. Text who you are and where you are to 086 8104 106. Telling you about the brawl last night, the junction of Oliver Plunkett Street and Caroline Street. I was wondering, what is it that makes people kick off like this? Texter says, you're delusional, Neil. This city is full of people taking drugs and making lots of money in the drug trade. It's not always, international cohorts that are involved. Now, they might well be involved in bringing it into the country, but then the distribution network takes on all sorts of different, goes down all sorts of different avenues. Of course, we have drug dealers from all walks of life who are making huge amounts of money. This texter says, to a large extent in Cork now, the drug show is being run by particular groups, minority groups within our community, who are now running the show. Wake up once or for all. This is a Father Ted State. The drug trade in Cork's been going on for years. This texter says the Gardaí are afraid to take them on. God love them. I don't agree with that. You see all too often people being arrested and charged and brought to court and then given over to the hands of the judiciary. They don't always get it right, do they? The carry-on in Cork City, it's a kip by day, and from what you're saying with regards to last night, it's a kip at night as well. Well, maybe an example of that, I'll come back to calls in a few minutes' time. These are texts that have come in the last half hour or so. Myself and my hubby went into town on Saturday evening. We normally stay in Douglas, but because it was a birthday, we decided to go into town Saturday evening. We had food first, then headed to Dennehy's on the Coal Quay, fabulous spot. Then decided to walk up through Dawn Square to maybe head to the Long Valley. But oh my God, there were drug dealers and junkies everywhere and what seemed like hundreds of Deliveroo guys hanging around with music blaring. It reminded me of New York before they sorted it out in the 80s. It was frightening with all of the different languages being spoken. And to be honest with you, no one was speaking English. It was a very scary place to be. So we jumped into the first taxi we saw. I will never head out to our city again. It's been taken over by scum, and this was at 10 p.m. on a Saturday evening. Well, if it had been 10 p.m. on a Sunday evening, you'd have seen an even worse scenario with this brawl, this fight, this free-for-all at the junction of Oliver Plunkett Street and Caroline Street. On alcohol, my father passed away in his early 40s from drink, and my mother passed away last year. My teenage brother found her. We're so lost. Our parents, we lost our parents within 10 years of each other. I have kids of my own and it's not easy. My father tried treatment numerous times and AA meetings, but nothing worked. It just took him over. He wasn't a violent drinker, but it killed him in the end. Drink is the worst drug out there, if you ask me. Keep those texts coming. Text 0868104106. Michael Collins, on air with me on Friday morning, seems to have pushed a lot of positive buttons with you guys. Good on you, Michael, for being honest about the likes of rapists, about the likes of paedophiles. It's about time someone said this in public once and for all. Paedophiles are attracted to children. They don't stop because they do 5 years in jail. It's a life sentence for the victim. I 100% agree with Michael Collins' belief that paedophiles should be chemically castrated. Mr. Collins is a fantastic politician and amongst the best in the country. Well done on finally bringing on a real politician talking about what real people want. Fantastic interview, says Pat. One final one on this. I agree with the TD. He's spot on. We're too soft on crime. I 100% agree with him on that. We need more people like Michael Collins in politics instead of the woke gang destroying Ireland. It's time for common sense and to get tough on crime. Thank you for those. That's just a selection. Meanwhile, of course, while we spend 1 million euro on Ukrainian cats and dogs every month, 12 million a year, mother of God, they are potentially closing down daycare centres for the elderly who use them, as you heard already. It's the high point of their week to meet with people on a weekly basis, have the chats, bit of bingo, bit of a dance, bit of dinner, catching up with your friends, playing a bit of cards. And they're thinking, because of this so-called recruitment embargo within the HSE, this service and many others like them are now in serious jeopardy. The one in Middleton is closed. Won't be opening anytime soon. They're promising hopefully by the end of the week. But with the chaos and the crisis within healthcare, one of the things you would think that they'd be talking about would be lifting the recruitment embargo. If somebody leaves the job, hire somebody else for it. For God's sake, surely be to God, that would be the common sense approach. Back to the phone lines we go. Dan Hart is standing by. First up, Dennis O'Shea. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
You're a few years younger than my caller before 10 o'clock. Not much, though. How are you?
Well, I'm not too bad. I'm motoring on a wheelchair.
You broke your hip, you misfortune, did you?
I did, yeah, I did. And then I got all sorts. And then, to get rid of the pain, Professor Manning suggested an amputation.
Oh, dear me, will that happen?
It did happen.
Oh, did it, Dennis? And how are you faring out?
Well, I'm fairly good.
Okay.
Very well. Okay. As best I can.
Okay. And I wish you well in that regard. That, you know, that's a difficult adjustment to your life.
Well, it's a big change.
Right.
It's a big change. That's how McCauley's came into the picture, because I was too fond of working in an outhouse by night until bedtime. But that all stopped when I got the...
When you had a fall, yeah.
When I had the fall.
You're a farmer, Dennis?
Well, I'm part-time.
Small farmer, like.
Part-time. So I had worked by day and I worked by night.
My God. All those years, you worked two jobs. You worked in a day job and then went home to the small farm, worked that at night and the weekends.
That's right. That's about the size of it now.
Okay.
But
okay.
I enjoyed it.
And would you mind, are we allowed to know how old you are?
I never calculated my age.
Didn't you?
But I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I was born in 1934, and you can make money of that.
I can, my simple maths would say you're 90 then. But no, numbers don't matter to you, do they? Age doesn't matter.
Not a bit.
And tell me, when you used to go into the daycare centre in Middleton, would you catch up with a lot of pals and things like that?
I would indeed, and I tell them a true story.
You're a great man for the stories, you are.
I was never a singer, but I could tell a true story.
You don't hear many of the old yarns anymore now. People are too busy on their phones and watching television to hear a good story.
But they are, yeah. I was never into the mobile phone.
Right. Okay. You never got... Have you not got one, no?
I have got one, but I can manage it.
Okay, you're not missing much anyway. And did you settle down? Did you marry? Did you rear a family and all
east? I did. I got married, all right. We are three in family. We buried Martin in 2019. He was born with Down syndrome. But he passed away in 2019. But Martin and Sean, Joanne is married in Ballintemple.
Right, okay. And has your beautiful wife passed away?
No, she's not. She's painting inside the hospital in Littleton.
It's incredible, the two of you, isn't it? It's incredible. Yeah. And obviously she's been there for a while, has she, or what?
She's there now for a while, she is.
Right, and are you... Yeah, go on.
She's painting every day.
She paints, does she? Is she handy at the painting?
She's painting pictures.
Oh, sure, I didn't think she was painting walls.
Well, she's putting up... They're putting up in the walls.
She must be damn good, so. And do you motor along? I mean, did you drive until the amputation or what?
Oh, I did. I was driving. I was indeed.
Right, okay.
I was.
How are you getting around now?
Wheelchair.
Electric?
No, the only one.
All right.
But I used to enjoy Macaulay's.
And tell me about a typical day there, then.
In Macaulay's?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We'd have a story, and we'd have a cup of tea at 10 o'clock, and then we'd have the dinner. You'd get a dinner there like you're getting in Garrigo Hotel.
Way, top class. That's because the chef was there. But you see, they lost the chef then, and they couldn't hire another one.
They had a chef in the end. Did the chef leave or something?
Apparently so. And then, because of this recruitment ban, they're not allowed hiring the HSC. They couldn't replace the chef, you know?
I'm sorry, Neil. There's a knock at the door.
Is there? Okay. Do you want to answer that?
I will.
Okay, because I wanted to chat with you about another pal that you worked with before. Did you work with a fella called Dan Hart?
Sorry, Sean is looking after it.
All right, okay. Oh, can you chat? There's a chap called Dan Hart here. He's a few years older than you. Did you work with him?
I did indeed. I worked with Dan Hart. I met Dan Hart in 1960 in Gary Tool in Ellis's. And we worked for 20 years in the same yard in John A. Woods.
In John A. Woods. What did you do in John A.'s?
I was donor on the crusher. Dan Hart was driving a machine loading the stones.
I don't know, will you be able to hear him now? Because I have him here as well. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Niall.
Have your old pal Dennis O'Shea here?
I'm a very old pal of mine.
Worked hard together many years. Do you remember your working days with him?
I do very well, and the stories he tell, and we were often trying to get the better of each other.
is he a great storyteller? He is.
But Dennis was outstanding, and he had a great way of telling them. You nearly believe that it was true, even though it might be a lie.
Oh, what kind of stories though?
They were about things that used to happen long ago and so forth, you know.
In my father's time kind of thing.
In my father's time, and he was regularly going back to the fair day in Middleton and what used to happen there.
Go away on that.
Things like that.
And I'd say there was way too much storytelling in John A. Woods and not half enough work, I'd say.
The work was done too, but we'd be waiting in the morning for to go ahead to start the work and so forth, and maybe at lunchtime. But
they appreciated your stories, Dennis.
Indeed, we did. But I was called into to Dennis's day in Middleton in Macaulay's of a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And recently, when I get a chance, I'd call in there and we'd have an hour together.
So yourself and Dan would, yourself and Dennis would have the chat. You've been using it for 10 years, Dan, is that right?
But I've been using it for 10 years. In 2014, myself and my wife, she had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Right.
And naturally enough, she was very upset at the time, and the GP and the district nurse recommended we go to Middleton for a day.
Yes, yes.
So that was a great relief because, well, when we went in, she would put sitting at the table for lunch and so forth with the women, and I was on the other side with the men. So we had a kind of a day off.
From each other?
It worked very well. When I went in there, I saw so many. One man was in a wheelchair, another man had crutches, and I was saying, where am I going? But after one or two visits, I was part of and parcel of the place.
Did you make friends there?
I made a world of friends as they came and went. Unfortunately, the motor, those that were there when I went in first are gone.
Is your wife still able to go with you, I wonder, Dan?
No, she was only able to come with me for 4 years. Then her disability got worse and she had to go into a nursing home.
Parkinson's,
She passed away a year before last.
Oh, dear me, Dan. So that's sad, but...
I stayed coming and I really enjoyed it. You know, I became part and parcel of it, listening to all of them, their tales of war, their health and age and so forth.
But you'd have a bit of crack and a bit of bingo and a sing-song and a bit of a dance and
everything. Definitely. It wasn't all doom and gloom because they were telling me how they were appreciating what they were getting inside in Macaulay's and so forth. And indeed, the nurse in charge, she's outstanding. And a great crew of the staff.
It's heartbreaking if it is to close for good.
Heartbreaking.
It may not, and I think by people telling stories about it, like your good self, or indeed Anne, yes, before 10 o'clock, or Dennis O'Shea, they might sit up and say, this is cruel.
Yeah, there's people coming from all over East Cork there. There could be roughly about 20 a day for 5 days. And on top of that, then, we'd have a Christmas party every year. That helped to meet others who had been coming in during the week.
Everyone, Monday with you'd get to meet all of the other people from all of the other days.
You'd get to meet all the other people. And we would go on bus tours, which was a great thing as well.
Where would you go, I wonder, Dan?
Down to Yarl and... Blarney was a very famous place. And we'd go to Blarney and we'd have lunch in Blarney and so forth, you know.
Yeah, but would yourself and Dennis have a couple of pints in Blarney?
Well, Dennis wasn't coming with me at that stage. Till the last couple of years, Dennis was coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, the professor wanted a pint. I wasn't drinking. Dennis doesn't drink either, you know.
Maybe that's the secret to your long life. What do you think?
Maybe.
Dennis.
I never drank a pint.
Did you take the pin you did when you were young, is it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Never bothered with it. Why didn't you have an old pint of stout?
No, I never drank a pint.
You must be a very wealthy man then, Dennis, what? Right?
Maybe he did.
He wasn't throwing her over bar counters anyway, like the rest of us.
I was drinking that pint in my time, but very little.
Right.
I didn't drink a pint with you.
You see, Niall, if you don't drink a pint and you don't spend the money, you spend it some other way.
That's true, yeah.
You will go anywhere.
Maybe fast cars and foreign holidays, Dennis, what?
No cars. Yeah. I had a banger. my car would be £30 one time.
That's going back. That was probably a Model T Ford.
Yeah, well, the good old days.
Good. Yeah. And what do you make of the days we live in now, Dan Hart?
Well, when I got married, I had only a bicycle. and I was quite happy with it. there's a complete change now. A complete change. I think people are going to be beyond their own thinking. There's too money, much, I money. Suppose.
Too much money. So.
Money goes nowhere now.
Yeah.
Money, no. But coming back to Macaulay's.
Yeah.
We had a great shift.
You certainly
when
are.
When the door of the kitchen would open, you could get the smell and the aroma of home-cooked food.
And every week you look forward to it, don't you? Every week you would. Yeah.
And then the lunch is coming now in a van and being distributed to us. Isn't the same thing.
Well, it wouldn't be, no, if it has to be shipped down from Cork City. No, we live in...
That's an awful drawback.
We live in very contradictory times, you know, that they can close something like this.
The staff have been so outstanding. You couldn't twist or turn, but they're on the ball, they're watching you the whole time.
Well,
very, very dedicated, bro.
Well, I hope that by talking about it as we are this morning, that we could get this sorted once and for all and get a commitment for it to continue for people like your good selves.
It must have been a state of shock to those when they got the phone call, like myself.
Did you get an awful shock?
I really feel for them because I know them.
Of course you do over the years. What was said to you in that phone call?
I'm 94 now at the moment.
Fair play.
But there's a lot going in there. They're a lot worse than I am. They have some of them very poor mobility.
Yeah.
And they find it hard to speak.
Yeah.
They need a helping hand and a place to visit.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you're a great bit of stuff. You're a great. What's this?
The polls that be will straighten it out.
Well, making these calls and chatting with people hopefully will make a difference. Listen, it's lovely chatting with you, Dennis. It's lovely chatting with you as well, Dan. Thank you for taking the call this morning.
Thanks very much.
Take care. To all buddies, to all workmates, Dennis O'Shea and Dan Hart. Text 0868104106. Listen, I just do one more call this side of an ad break, if you don't mind, because Anne has been waiting for a long, long time very patiently. Anne, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Neil. How are you?
Aren't they two mighty men?
Well, I had the pleasure of sitting with them, my mother and myself, at the Christmas party last December.
Dennis and Dan.
I had the pleasure of sitting with Dennis and Dan at our table in the Middleton Park Hotel. So they were a pleasure, yeah. And Dan is a great man for the poems. It's a shame he didn't say his lovely poem that he recited that night about the day centre. But
I didn't know that.
No, but they're well able to speak for themselves. But as Dan said, there are a lot of people who can't. And I only know firsthand how much it would really be a big loss to them if this goes on, you know. So I really am upset.
Are your family members a service user?
Yes, my mum is now 90 and she's been attending the day centre for the past 12 years, I think, and has really, really benefited from it. She would have had a stroke without going into her history, but without the impact of the day centre, she would have missed out on so much in her community, and it really helped get her back on her feet.
So the social aspect of it was very... Yeah.
I suppose people of that age group can become very isolated and maybe not as involved in their community as they would have been when they were younger, or if they don't have family support or they don't drive, you know yourself. So, yeah.
And what were you actually told last week with regards to the reasons why it closed?
Yeah, it was just very, very sudden. It wasn't 100% my mother attends on Wednesdays, and we were just told provisionally that due to staffing issues, they may not be able to open next week. So I haven't got it 100% confirmed for this Wednesday, but it sounds like it's still an issue. So I'm sure Fidelma, the staff coordinator, will be in touch with me. But I'm hoping it will be open. It's just such a big loss. They get their hair done. They have a sense of community. They're so well cared for.
Was a hairdresser as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mamie is fantastic, yeah. So it's such a wide service, chiropody. But it's just like a whole community, really, Neil, just to try and emphasise that. And knowing how the HSE work, I would be so, so concerned if this just went under the radar and wasn't supported by the community and all who attend. And I'm so glad that you're covering it today on behalf of the staff and then mostly on behalf of all the attendees. Most important.
I did get a response from the HSE that all may not be as bad as perhaps you guys had thought over the weekend, where they say we remain dedicated to resuming services, delivering essential services, etc., etc. We want to reassure service users that we're working urgently and expect the service to resume operation later this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's good to hear. At least they have responded. Hopefully it won't be a lip service. I suppose really the staffing issues have been there for a while and they've had quite good agency stats, but I suppose they can come and go. And I suppose in this kind of a service, you need continuity of care, and that's very important. And even for those running it, it's just so important to have good staff working as a team. And it is a team effort in there. I mean, they all are fantastic.
Okay, I'm also getting an update saying that the centre is not going to close, and the HSE that said that they don't want any situation whereby anxiety could be caused to people who use the service. Please clarify this, that they said the centre is not closing for good. This is just what I'm hearing now, that they're saying that at some stage services will resume later this week. But then why was it, if that's the case, then why was I receiving texts from people who were saying that they had been told that it was closing?
Well, I suppose you have to have a plan in place. You can't just willy-nilly say one day we've no staff that you're going to have a load of staff the next day. So I can imagine they have to give people notice. I mean, a lot of people that attend the day centre go to families at work and they're their main carers as well. So, I mean, one or two days a week where their staff or their family member is in the day centre, it's a day of respite for them and they have peace of mind knowing that they're well cared for. So I suppose people were, it's like having children going to school if they're sick at the last minute or, you know, the school closes. It's a very, very similar situation, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm glad I got an update from the HSE, because here's what I was told. One emailer said all service users' families were contacted on Friday to say that due to the HSE recruitment freeze, the service is being completely cut. Now, if conversations this morning are helping to make people more and more aware of services like this and the importance of them, then this is a job well done. And that it will reopen, that they will sort out whatever problems they're having, fix them, and open again for all of the users over the next few days, right?
Absolutely. That's the hope, isn't it? That's the hope. But we don't want to put a plaster on a problem that's there already, though. We just want it fully fixed and to have continuity of care then with staff going forward. You know, it's a very hard service to run if you don't know the different needs of the clients or the attendees.
True, but you also need to be able to...
a wide background.
Yeah, absolutely. But you also need to be able to replace... Another emailer said here as well that you also need to be able to replace care assistants or indeed a chef, and that if you can't fix this, and as you said, without putting a bandage on it, the fear is that the service will just limp along and then close permanently.
Absolutely. It has to be run safely. You know, these are vulnerable adults that are attending, and, you know, it has to be run safely. And it's not a nice place to work in the HSE if you're not feeling supported in your workplace as well. You know, you don't want to have extra stress on you. So I think for the staff, it's important for them all to feel that the team is well skill mixed and,
okay.
You know.
Okay. Like let's that. Keep yeah. Let's keep the pressure on. Thank you so much, Anne, for holding. Appreciate it. Text 0868 104 106. I did reference there what Simon Harris was talking about with regards to doing more for people with mental health services, doing more for older people, doing more for people with disabilities. I wonder if this kind of conversation is happening in other communities around Cork or indeed around the country. These vitally important daycare centres that are open 5 days a week and they have maybe 20 or 25 different people coming in on a daily basis. High point of their week, the social interaction would be devastated if something like this were to happen. And people are annoyed about the potential hanging over or the threat hanging over services like this, and all of it much to do, of course, with, while on the one hand, there seems to be plenty money for some things that are quite questionable. And on the other hand, of course, they're talking about a recruitment freeze within the HSE,
which will only lead to more and more crisis and chaos. Keep the calls coming. Text 0868 104 106 after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818
104 106. The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Hey, everybody loves cake. We got a massive cake from Luso Cork this Monday, Munchies. So text who you are and where you are to 0868 104 106. Luso Cork out in Ballincollig have created this fabulous, big, huge, 8-inch tall, triple Belgian chocolate biscuit cake. Will be delivered by Red Patrollers to your workplace this lunchtime. Shout-outs to everybody at St. Patrick's Boys' School in Mallow who are listening. Sweet 24 and the Cork Clinic working very hard. They need sweet treats to get through the day. See somebody else saying, oh yeah, Murray Properties say, please, please, we need sugar. Says Alice Barry. I work in Carrick Tool Pharmacy. We have a great gang. We would love the cakes, says Maura O'Donnell. One or two more. Pamper Paws in Middleton are listening. Brook Lodge National School. We're fighting hard to get our children all the help they need. Parents are meeting today to discuss the future. Of course, that has to do with the extra special needs facilities that they were promised and now have been told is cancelled. The chaos in this place. Simotech in Carrigaline would love a treat on a sunny Monday morning. Nurture Childcare in Blackrock. So keep those texts coming. Text who you are and where you are to 086 8104 106. To tell you how bad it is, says a texter, an emailer here, I just finished my healthcare assistant course. I applied to Middleton Hospital. I was told they couldn't hire due to the HSE ban on hiring staff. It's awful that people are crying out for healthcare staff and they're not allowed to hire us professionals. This is leading to people not getting the care they need. Now, you can't blame the HSE staff or those even involved in hiring or management for this one. This is an initiative that comes from Stephen Donnelly Down saying, if anybody leaves, you cannot replace them. If we need staff, you cannot hire them. But yet, on the other hand, I suppose, we can still find a million a month for Ukrainian cats and dogs. It's bizarre. Meanwhile, back to the phone lines we go. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
Your thoughts.
Where are all the TDs now from East Cork and Glanmire this morning? All these people that were on last week when Simon Harris was elected, shouting and roaring. Where were every one of them this morning?
They wouldn't be able to defend the indefensible, that's what.
Well, Neil, there we go. And we shouldn't be defending it either.
Okay. One of those stories you're referring to there is the Board of Management of the Cork Primary School had been promised a second special education class. I think it would have been a modular building. What can you do about that? And now they're being told, not going to happen, no longer available, while in the same breath, Simon Harris was talking about helping those very people.
No, Neil, I'm not a racist and I'm not a far right. But you were talking about something last Friday. When I say my blood was boiling, it was beyond boiling, right? What we're doing. Now, I have a dog and I know the cost of a dog. But Jesus, Neil, our priorities are all wrong.
Yeah,
there was this morning about the giveaway budget. Let everyone in this country, Neil, and in this city remember what we have paid to this government between petrol, electricity, and when I hear those elderly people this morning, my heart was warmed. I thought of my own dad, God rest him. And they are the most vulnerable people in society. We have sucked the lifeline out of every town and village in this country by giving up the last hotels. That were probably the one place where you know what country funerals are like, where people will go to socialise. We have children in this country, Neil, that are neglected, people with special needs. And, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
Mm.
I'm not going to vote in the next election. I heard a man last week who said he was going to vote. I will not vote, Neil, in the next election. The first time in my life, because my conscience could not let me.
Would you think that to some extent, like, that Simon Harris might make a difference? He might only get 7 or 8 months before an election. No?
No.
I think it's waffle.
It. Yeah. How long have they been there? Right, no, the housing, the healthcare, but me. Our children and our elderly. They are the most vulnerable. They can't pack their bags and go somewhere else. Remember that. And you know what I'm saying, I'm saying indirectly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not racist, I'm not far right. I've worked my whole life for Jesus, Neil, this country. I'm ashamed to say I'm Irish. Donald Trump, somebody said in your programme last week, Donald Trump would be better to run this country. And he would. Because he would have the attitude, make Ireland great again, look after the Irish. Here we are now, Neil, they're running here, there and everywhere. I understand what's happening in the world, Neil. But these are vulnerable people. The elderly and the children. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
and
nothing.
In Denmark,
there's
nothing. East Cork.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the East Cork story, this would be the Macaulay Day Centre in Middleton. I never knew it existed. I was so happy to hear that services like this exist all over the country. Even having a conversation that the HSE would say it's temporarily paused, right? But even having that conversation about something like so important to elderly people or people with Alzheimer's or indeed Parkinson's or getting on in age, where they can go once a week to meet other people and to socialize, even to hear that it's been temporarily paused because they can't get staff, that in itself...
And we can't get, and Neil, excuse me for cutting across here, and we can't get a CDTD or any elected person from any of those places to come along. You had Billy Kelleher on last week, the stuttering and the stammering out of him when you asked him, you kind of redirected the question. Where are all of them today? Colin Burke, Jerry Buttermer, Mr. Simon Coveney, who don't know whether he's where, we don't know where he is.
He's a TD now. Just to let you know, I have been endeavouring to get Simon Coveney on air for the last week.
And where are they?
So far.
And where are they all?
Maybe he will come back to me.
Today we need somebody.
All right.
And also, Neil, just before you go, the next time you have any one of them on, get a flavour of the cause that you have going into you. And ask them to listen, because you know what? These are the calls, not necessarily me, but those vulnerable people earlier on.
But that's the point I was endeavouring to make. Even having a conversation about something being paused or being in difficulty or the potential of it closing for good if they can't get staff, it may reopen again at the end of the week, and hopefully people pressure will make that happen. But that doesn't guarantee its future.
No, it doesn't. But of course, look what else happened last week. Hadn't we all the mocks parked outside whatever pub?
Yeah,
right.
Did, yeah.
But that's another thing. No, hold on a second, only. And that's
I suppose they're entitled to go for a pint. I suppose
they can. But Neil, look at all those godless that they're driving. Why can't they use public transport and bicycles?
Well, ministerial mercs outside a Dublin pub after the election of Simon Harris, the optics weren't great, like the fact that have their few pints and they have a chauffeur to take them home. Oh, my God.
We have a great country, don't we? We have a great country.
Thanks, Teresa. Pick up on the conversation. Text 0868104106. Teresa says, get a flavour of how people feel. Well, from last week's programme, it all had to do with $1 million a month on Ukrainian pets. If anyone is moving to a house and the landlord doesn't allow pets, they have to get rid of them. Meanwhile, for everybody else, it's a different rule. This country's a joke. A member of my family is clean for 12 months, and as a family, they can't even get a medical card to help them, and not for the want of trying. This is somebody who's fighting addiction issues and fighting the good fight. I stayed in the Wilton Hotel in Bray 2 weeks ago. 50% of the hotel housed Ukrainians. There were no pets there. So who is ensuring people have these pets, and where are they keeping? Well, sometimes they're in the accommodation with the people who are here from the likes of Ukraine. And in other cases, they're in kennels. Isn't it crazy that they're paying that much for pets belonging to Ukrainians, but yet every rescue in Ireland is full to the brim because people can't rent or stay in hotels because of their pets? It's ridiculous. That money could also go to the rescue centre as well. To some extent, I suppose, the hotels are 100% occupied by Ukrainian war refugees, by other people fleeing persecution, maybe people who are looking for asylum, and also, of course, the International Protection Order, people that are coming in here. I guess we're also paying for the dog licenses, are we? Says James. Just a quick question. Can my dog be declared a Ukrainian dog and then not need a dog license? Any advice for me? Are you alluding there? Is there some story about Ukrainian cars with regards to their tax and insurance? What is the state of play with, say, tax, insurance and NCT on a Ukrainian-driven car? The millions been given here to Ukrainians towards the care of their animals. I'm sad and sickened. If the government is handing out millions for pet care, how about people helping the many families that are waiting for service dogs? Many have to fundraise so that they and their family members can have some semblance of a decent quality of life. How is this being sanctioned $1 million a month? All of these dogs and cats tested for disease coming into the country, I wonder? Keep those coming. Text 0868104106. So they can't hire staff for the Macaulay Day Centre for the elderly down in Middleton, but they can fund a budget of $1 million a month for dogs and cats. Text 0868104106.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
No, sorry, I make no apology for letting people stay in touch with what really is going on, particularly with regards to those who in their own way could be vulnerable and need help and support, whether it is
something like we've been discussing this morning, the Macaulay Centre in Middleton. And if we are making any difference at all, we will hopefully ensure that the staff is provided for it and it continues to thrive, because there's nothing wrong with what they provide. It's about being allowed to provide it. At the same time, you have the Brook Lodge National School, who were promised, it's front page of the Echo today, promised and devastated with the news that they will not now get their special education class for children who need it. And I'm also hearing then, on top of everything else, again, all of this is to do with this embargo. You're not allowed to hire staff. And no one talking about lifting this, in spite of everything that Simon Harris was saying the back end of last week. I played you some of the audio. Day services at the Cope Centre cancelled today because of what? A lack of staff or staff shortages. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm good. Firstly, you wanted to pick up on some of my callers earlier on. The great Anne Carney, you know, well into her 90s now, for instance. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, listen, Anne is some woman. She's a martyr and a pillar for the area here in the rural area.
And she spoke of many people. Yeah, she spoke of many people who literally wouldn't see another individual from one end of the week to the other. They could well be housebound, for instance.
Yes, well, that's it. No, and that's the reason why I'm picking up my call. I am a mother to a special needs daughter here, Aisling, and she's a lot of complex needs. And while Anne was probably saying about the Macaulay Centre, I got a phone call to say that my day service has been cancelled on a Monday morning. So I was here getting her ready, getting every set up, and to receive that call. So I was pretty cross with everybody. And I myself, I still feel I'm in a COVID situation, very isolated. Rural Ireland is lovely if you have a young family, a dog, a cat, and you know, everything else. But when you get older in life, obviously I'm half the age of your previous callers, but it is very isolating.
And tell me, did you only get that call this morning?
Oh, this morning, you know, with her, she lives at home with myself. It's been a long weekend, and, you know, talking about Monday morning, I look forward to it because I know she's out the door. She's in the routine of day services for the week again until the weekend. And plus, I had respite as well. So if I had any plans to go anywhere today, I couldn't go then because, you know, and I have to drive her up myself every day and collect her.
And in spite of your daughter's special needs and complex needs, she's in her 20s now, in fairness to her. She's doing the best she can.
Is.
But did she look? Does she look forward to those days?
Oh, well, she does. Once she's in the routine, like even today and now being off, that will set her back then a couple of days then again, because she's just here now in the bed. I'm here sitting alongside her and just another 24 hours going by until the next day. You know, that kind of a situation.
Will she get up?
No, not in a minute now, no. Because of her needs then again, she just, as soon as lunchtime comes around, she'll get up then and she'll cooperate, and then she might want to go back to the bed. So I'm hoping to have her up by 3 o'clock.
You full-time carer then, Anne?
Yes, I am. Yes, yeah.
Christ.
And plus then I don't have any, like I was just saying about the Macaulay Centre there, that I could help out, even go in and sweep the floor or something. But, you know, I'm so tired here. It's so isolating. I bring her up and down to her day services to Cork, up in Montanati, even though there's a day service in Middleton, that's completely full. And, you know, it's just very stressful now, just listening to everybody. You know, it's not just the elderly in the area, it is myself with
How do you explain to Aisling that the day today was cancelled?
Oh, there's no, she does, that's the thing, there's no explaining because she doesn't understand. She's just lying on her bed there now because she thinks, oh, great, I'm back in bed then and that's it.
Right.
Now, okay. I do have home help. I've only 1 hour home help in the morning, Hilda calls, to help me to get her dress ready. But therefore, no other home help won't come because I'm too far out in the country, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah. And even with myself, then, as I'm getting older, I know I'm only half the age of your other callers, but I'm telling you, you know what? I don't think I'll ever see 94 or any of those high numbers, because the way I'd be going at these It's just so stressful, yeah, you know, really and truly it is.
I can imagine. I mean, it must be physically wearing on you because, you know, she's a grown adult.
Oh, my God. That's it. And she's a solid lady. She's just, you know, and she does a lot of self-harm. And then, Neil, she hits herself in the face and she feels no pain at all. Her diagnosis is she's cerebral palsy. I'm not fed up at all.
I'm in awe that this is your entire life dedication.
Your whole life
is dedicated to care of your daughter. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But you worry about the future then, Anne?
That's, of course, Neil. That's the thing, you see. I mean, you know, like, with her needs, I sometimes feel she's too much for carers to look after because, you know, there's no cooperation with her or she doesn't cooperate with staff. And I'm more worried about the staff than Ashton because when she's so strong and forceful that I'd be kind of saying, girls, I don't mind about Ashton, but I'm worried about, gee, are you able to look after her? Can he cope with her? So, yeah, so that's why it's a bit of a shock now to hear Monday morning, no day services because, again, no staff. And then when I heard about the Macaulay Centre, if they're having trouble at that age of life, where am I going to be at 94? I definitely won't be here now.
And what do you think about when you hear the likes of Simon Harris saying, you know, the things that I read out this morning, that he wants to make better, you know, children, and not all children, because adults have special needs, like your daughter, or the elderly, or those with psychiatric issues, and, you know.
But Neil, when is it going to happen? Like, we had the excuse that the last 4 years was COVID, and this, as I said, I definitely still feel I'm in COVID. You know, and where am I? I could be down in the Macaulay Centre with a brush and a broom sweeping around the floor if there were short staff or anything. But I can't do that. I'm sitting here like a couch potato, and he's in the room next door.
Are you isolated as well, then? Are you isolated?
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, as Anne said, rural life is very isolating, you know. You don't see one person from one day to the next, you know. But, like, for health and safety reasons, then I can't leave her on her own because, if she, you know, like, even with her needs, you just can't. And I'm just here, as I said. I can't do much in the country life because you don't see one person from one day to the next. And in the area that I'm in, it's a real farming background, so therefore you either have to have land and cattle or sheep around you. But sure, I can't even do that, Neil, because, you know, we don't have the routine. And by the time I get her up to her day services and come back, that's about 11 o'clock, depending on traffic. And, you know, even though we have a new motorway up to the Dunkittle, it's still very busy in the mornings, whatever. We're back then again for three before they hit the traffic.
Oh, so there's nothing you can do with those. You could nothing with. So there's nothing left, really.
There's nothing.
You
know,
you're just you yourself are a mother and a service provider, getting her to and from her stuff.
I feel I'm so useless, Neil, because I, you know, like you're saying about the, I should be up visiting all my elderly neighbours and friends. But sure, where am I? I'm just here now, sitting with Ashton. Until she's ready to get up and cooperate and get into the chair.
Okay.
For later on.
Okay.
And, you know, she's so strong and heavy. And, you know, being sick, that's it. So,
it's tough.
You
know, it's tough.
It is. But it's maddening. It's so maddening, Neil. Okay. Simon Harris is after getting in a T-shirt. Blah, blah, three bags full. That's it. He got his speech. Next thing he was off over in Europe looking after all day. It's the same old story. It doesn't make.
And what do you think when you hear of a million a month then on pets?
Oh, listen. I mean, we all have a pet. God love us. But, I mean, at the same time, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Okay. Look after yourself, Anne, and your lovely daughter as well. So in one fell swoop this morning, managed to hold below the waterline anything that was being said from Simon Harris when it came to looking after mental health services, cancelled. Looking after older people, cancelled. Looking after people with disabilities, cancelled. In the shape of, you know, more special needs units in our primary schools,
cancelled. Back after 11.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. And while I'm telling you what to do and what to call and what to text and email and what have you, you also need to text for our Monday Munchies. Luso Cork out in Ballincollig, for everyone who loves chocolate and for everyone who loves cake. We have a gigantic, beautiful 8-inch tall triple Belgian chocolate biscuit cake that'll be sent out by Red Patroller this lunchtime to you and those in your workplace if you're lucky enough to win it. It's got meringue buttercream, it's on a chocolate board, it's got decorated with handmade chocolate garnishes. It's beautiful. It's part of their celebration cake range. You can see all of the wonderful handmade artisan treats that they make at www.lusocork.ie. So, to win this fabulous cake, text 086-8104-106. Tell us who you are and where you are. So text who you are and where you are to 086-8104-106. Do you mind if I just catch up? A lot of different conversations going on all at the one time. And you know something? There's always some good news stories to be reporting and sharing with you. My apologies to our emailer here. I didn't get this on air sooner, but there's just so much to go through. But just wanted to take the time to send in a feel-good story, because I'm blown away by how caring and kind the people of Cork are. You and me both, actually. My elderly mother-in-law recently spent a long spell in hospital and came home to her life having to adjust around her. So I wanted to do something nice to pick her up a little bit, make her feel like herself again. I put up a notice on the Mums of Glanmire notice board on Facebook, looking for a mobile hairdresser to call to her, as it's impossible now for her to get to one. Hadn't much luck, as most hairdressers do only colours and upstyles, etc., and I was looking to get a perm done, which is old school, I suppose. Anyway, a lovely lady named Tracy Nugent reached out and offered to do it for me, and I was delighted. Well, today she came to do the perm, and I've never met such a caring, lovely person from start to finish. My mother-in-law needed help in a few aspects of getting up and down the stairs, getting her hair washed, etc., and the patience that she showed, as in the patience that Tracy showed, was overwhelming. To top it all off, when I went to pay her for such a brilliant job, she refused money and said it was her treat and that she wanted to put a smile back on Teresa's face. Said it was a random act of kindness. She was there over 2 hours. I have no words to express my gratitude to her. Tracy from Glanmire, originally from Fairhill. And I think she deserves a bit of recognition for just being a genuinely lovely, caring person. People of Cork are the nicest people in the world, and we should be very proud of ourselves. I hope you have time to read this out. But it's if that's not okay to do, I'll understand. Not read it out. I'm so sorry I took so long to read it out, Annette. It is a beautiful story and a lovely act of kindness. So well done to Tracy Nugent for doing what she did. And of course, she was doing it unbeknownst that the family would get in touch with me and share her absolute kindness. Other stories that we've been dealing with of late. You know, we were calling, people who live here, and somebody was on the air with me last week saying he's now at retirement age. Himself and his wife are packing it all in. Cost of living is just too high here. They get absolutely zero value for everything they spent in tax or the money they're spending now. So they're heading off to Spain. And I said, well, is it on holiday? No, for good. Just going for good. Somewhere, I don't know, up around Alicante, I think he said he was going to. Nice text on this. That man is so right. My parents go abroad for 6 months of the year in their camper van because it's actually cheaper for them to go away than stay in this country as pensioners. I'd say particularly during the winter, right? Currently, Neil, they are in Altea. It's a beautiful area. It's somewhat up the coast, the eastern coast of Spain. I know Altea very well. It's a gorgeous place. They're in Altea getting diesel for 141 and a coffee for 150 with the blue skies overhead. This country has gone to the dogs. Another example, melatonin is between 25 and 50 euro here. Melatonin in Spain is 2.50 euro a box. I'm assuming it is a box. My forgiveness if it isn't. Imagine that, up to 50 euro here, 2.50 in Spain. Love the show. I know. And you have to, if you ever try and unpick that, there are many different reasons why there's such a big price difference, of course. And, you know, why food is cheaper or beer is cheaper or petrol is cheaper, you know.
I mean, they don't have the same kind of excise, and they have a huge tourist economy in Spain that supplements pretty much of the Spanish economy. That isn't to say, you know, that we don't have a tourism industry that contributes also, but it's pretty much on its knees now. You see Michael Magner down in Vienna Wood saying this morning, if they don't reverse the 13% VAT rate and bring it back down to 9%, that even more businesses will go bust. I'd like to remain anonymous in expressing this opinion, please. I was talking about the, why does it now cost anywhere between 130 and 150 euro per plate, per guest that you invite to a wedding? It's a bizarre amount of money. And I suppose it's just the very mention of a wedding means that everything gets more expensive. Do you remember we covered that last week? I am planning a wedding, and I see, and I'm seeing the prices for vendors and venues and suppliers, and I am shocked. I heard so many different opinions, but what I can't get my head around is the mindset of your guests will pay for most of the costs. Aha. Now we're getting somewhere. Your guests will pay for most of the costs, and that's truly not fair on the guests. No wonder some people don't want to go to a wedding because of that. I'm planning my wedding without thinking of any gifts or cash being received on the day. Me and my partner will have a wedding that is within our means without depending on our family and our dearest friends to pay part or maybe most, if not all of it. Now, thank you for that, and there are more like that, but if you just look at that text, is that one of the reasons then why everything involving a wedding is so expensive? Because those involved in the providing, not the procurer, you're the procurer, the hotel is the provider. The providers know that if you have 100 or 150 people going to the wedding, there's a very good chance that each and every one of them will give you between 100 or 200 euro cash as a gift. So they're taking that into consideration, you know. Have you noticed the latest report, for instance, over the weekend that was saying that the incentive to first-time buyers, some can get 20, you can get a maximum of 30,000 towards the cost of a new home, that incentive by the state is actually pushing up the price of the house, the developer's price, the builder's price, the state agents that are sending it price. The selling price of the house is being pushed up artificially by about 15% because of it. So the incentive is known, so therefore that in itself then pushes up the price. A bit like the weddings, that they know that you're getting loads of cash from your guests, and that's why they charge accordingly an awful lot more. I mean, why would you pay 130 to 150 euro for a three-course meal that you might pay 35 euro for if it wasn't a wedding? And then I got a fabulous photocopy from the Country Club Hotel, where somebody had their wedding reception in the Lee Room of the Country Club Hotel. I'm struggling here now to find the date. Here it is, the 19th of October, 1984. Neither today nor yesterday, but Liam Ryan sent it nonetheless. And it was his wedding bill. Now, it doesn't say, I don't know if Seamus can tell me how many people were actually at this wedding that he sent, that Liam sent, but he said it worked out at €841.50. And the toast then, what would the toast be? Is the toast wine or champagne, or champagne maybe? €140. So this would be pounds at the time. So the total then came in at just under £1,000. £1,000. He said to me, if you work it out with regards to how much was the food per person on the day, £8.25. £8.25. So what was £8.25 now? If it was back in 1984, what would that be now? You can work it out. There's a calculator that will tell you that. So it was per head in 84 in the Metropole, in the Country Club Hotel. Now, of course, £8.25, now the Montenotte Hotel, per person in 1984. So there was 120 guests, he's saying, at £8.25 per guest for dinner. What would that be now in 2024 money? Let's do the calculation. Calls on the way.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Some breaking news there just coming in. Tony O'Donoghue's reporting on RTE that Jonathan Hill, the chief exec of the FAI, has left his post with immediate effect. been in charge of the football body since 2020, heavily criticised by the Public Accounts Committee. A couple of months back, he was trying to explain a payment of 11.5 grand that he received in lieu of holidays not taken, which was against the FAI's own rule book. So, as being reported this morning, he's left his position as FAI Chief Executive Officer. Can I just say, Liam, you'll be happy to know, I've done the math, there's a calculator online. You paid £8.25 per person, the starter, main course, dessert and tea and coffee in 1984 in the country club. And that is just under €20 in today's money. So your £8.25, if it were converted to 2024, is €20 per head. Now, I know an awful lot has happened in the 40 years since that, but has it been enough to go from €20 per head to 130 to €150 per head? I don't know. And Sarah, who's got a mobile home down on her own property in West Cork, is a bit like Sean Meehan up in Tipperary, who's been told, you gotta knock it down and put it back as an empty field. Every morning I listen to the programme, Neil. I have to say, every day it makes me sick of what this country has become. The Irish people have forgotten on their own land. People are trying to keep roofs over their heads and feed their children by working 60 to 70 hours a week, for God's sake. Government just sits back and does nothing. That woman in West Cork, if she puts a tent on her land, they won't say anything to her because they're handing tents out to people anyway. Because she's properly safer in a mobile home, they want to take it from her. I'm sick of it. We need a revolution. Irish people need to stand up now to the people that are running this place into the ground, says Wayne. Looking at the photos from that lady's home and land, it looks incredibly beautiful. The County Council Planning Department would want to give their heads a bit of a wobble. Surely that woman in West Cork should be talking to Holly Cairns, the politician. She's only a few miles over the road. Another one, the poor woman. You look at all of the mobile homes and chalets and all of the different homes that now belong to, say, as an example, members of the travelling community in the north of our city. They're getting the same letter from the County Council, I wonder, to take down their chalets and their mobile homes on land. Doubt it. Nobody hassles them. I wonder if you could get someone from the planning department on air and ask them about the process that people have to go through. It seems to be that you can't fend for yourself anymore in times of crisis, need or homelessness. If the Ballady Hob lady was a member of Fianna whatever, there'd be no planning laws applying. Different rules for members of those. Nobody calls them crime syndicates. Come on, be kind. There's an encampment after being created in a field by members of what looks like the traveller community in Farnry, and there's never any enforcement. They are there for the last few years. How come? On the lady who was refused planning permission and has a beautiful mobile home with such beautiful landscaping, I thought no one had a veto on where anyone lives. That was my statement. Is this just government policy for some and for others? Oh no, I forgot, she's Irish. So I guess there is some kind of regulation because of that. And my conversations with Pat Phelan on air then regarding, living and fighting addictions, and he's 24 years sober. AA will work for anybody that really wants it. It takes time, and the toughest thing any alcoholic will ever have to do in this life is to stop and say, stay sober. I'm 60 now, and I'm 28 years sober with a son who is 33 and 3 years sober himself. My family and having someone to talk to, especially my son, is so important to me. Please pass on my number to anybody that might need it. AA is anonymous and it must remain so. Otherwise, I would love to talk. If that lady's son is introverted, this is the letter writer from last week, AA and Al-Anon probably won't suit him. He obviously doesn't like to be in a group situation and speaking in public. That would be a bit pressurized on him. The private route may be better as an option. Maybe there are other options. He's 50 days sober, so he really is trying. He's got wonderful parents in his corner, so good luck to him. Good support, but professional help is needed to progress. Thank you for those contributions. Keep them coming. Text 0868 104 106. Big response then to the work that the Macaulay Centre do down in Middleton. I mean, huge response from people reacting to our calls, particularly the likes of Anne and Dennis and Dan and those that were talking. And they are they're a handy age, every single one of them. Oh, that we'd all be as alert as we are as them when we're into our 90s. So I will come back to that, but I'm conscious of calls. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Eileen, good morning.
Hi, Neil, how are you?
What's this photograph you sent to me?
Big
big, massive potholes, Neil, by my house in Teafield.
But is that a main? Is that an actual road?
It is. Yeah.
Like it's not just a private road up to your house or anything. It's actually cars and buses.
Cars and secondary school buses and all travel up that road.
My God, it's the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, it's desperate, Neil. Yeah, and you just can't avoid them. They're everywhere along the Lisgoole, Limlora, Ballincurry, Carbelly. The roads are shocking up this area.
So if you had a school bus going along that road, whoever's on it would break their necks.
Yeah, the school bus comes up that road twice a day, clicks them and drops them home. And it's just chewing and throwing left to right after clicks my four teenagers.
Be like a boat on waves as opposed to a bus on a road.
Yeah, definitely, Neil.
And how long have you had potholes and craters like this? Because they just go on and on and on.
Yeah, it's been like this now. Storm Babette now definitely made an awful impact on the road, but there has been no council workers out here since Storm Babette, and they're getting worse and worse because people are trying to avoid them.
You couldn't avoid them. It's impossible to avoid them.
You can't avoid them.
Push bike wouldn't avoid them. It's like...
No, and see there on the left-hand side, and when the picture is full of water, there's actually craters, Neil, down where that water.
Oh, so the water is deceptive. They're quite deep, are they?
Oh, they're very deep, yeah. You just can't avoid them. You've got kids in training at different times of the evening after school, so you're constantly up and down those roads.
And are you talking to local councillors, the county council? You know that they got less money last year than the allocation for the year before. They said that they only got peanuts. About 70 million.
Yes, I heard you saying that. Yeah.
Are they making any promises?
They're doing all the main roads. Obviously, they have to look after the main roads, but like all our these country roads are just being left, and there's just no way avoiding them.
It's tough living in rural Ireland, Eileen, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. And my sister now, she had her car was in Spence T last week and it failed for shocks.
Did it?
She lives up this area as well. Yeah. Failed for shocks.
You see, you wouldn't be able to prove that. Like, if you were to burst a wheel now or smash a tyre or the other way around, you could claim off the council, couldn't you?
Oh, you could, yeah. But with shocks and suspensions, yeah.
You'd never be able to prove shocks and suspensions, though, would you?
No. No, but they're absolutely shocking, Neil. God. Even for people that do, though we do a lot of walking now around our area, and like every road we go on is just... craters we have to walk through.
So this is just a typical example of other roads.
Oh yeah, all around Lisgoole, Limlora now, Carbelly is just as bad as our road. Yeah, and school buses and everything and parents dropping kids to school. It's desperate.
And we all know from experience that filling the potholes with tarmac is only a very, very temporary solution.
Oh sure, Neil. A couple of months and they're back up again. But this is the worst now these roads have ever been.
But you're laughing now with the local elections coming up this summer. So you're bound to get promises from people who, if you give them their vote, they'll get it sorted.
Well, hopefully they'll come up now in their big cars now and they'll see what our potholes are like.
They won't. They'll have to walk up those roads. And tell me, do you mind? I think we're sharing. Are we sharing these photographs? These are as bad as I've ever seen.
Share away, Neil.
Oh my God, I bet you we'll get other photographs from people. But I mean, I don't want to make lighthearted news of this, but we could get a pothole competition going. The worst pothole roads in Cork.
Oh yeah, no, it's terrible. All the roads around here are absolutely terrible.
Oh my God, check us out. Thanks for that. Yeah. Much obliged, Eileen. Check it out. We're going to share. I think this is up on what, Facebook or X? Okay, they're there. If you want to add to it yourself, your own pothole experience, please do so. That's on Facebook and X. You can also, if you want, WhatsApp me the photographs. Just WhatsApp the photograph to 0868 104 106. Is 5 standing by? I think it is. 5 is Eileen. Eileen, good morning. You married Morris in 1974.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us all about that.
Yeah. The margin, and I had my reception in the Imperial Hotel on the South Mall there at 10 shillings a guest, 50 guests. Shillings.
Okay.
And I just said, I had my
Can we convert 10 shillings in 1974 to 2024 now, I wonder? Any idea what it might be worth? Do you even know, Eileen, what 10 shillings would be?
I wouldn't have a clue.
How many shillings in a pound?
There was 20 shillings in a pound.
So it was 50 pence.
Yeah. But really, think about that.
And what did you get? What did you get for the 10 shillings per person?
What did we get? We got chicken and ham, and the starter. You know, the starter was grapefruit with tartare in it. Chicken and the ham after the dessert was bread and butter pudding, to best of my knowledge. And then there was tea that time. There was the coffee. Was there was no such thing. I don't even think.
Not at all. No, the only yeah. thing you could have gotten in 1974 was Irel coffee in the bottle. Do you remember that?
That's right. And you can still get that.
You can, yeah. But I mean, I remember as a kid drinking Irel coffee, just taking a spoon of it and adding hot water to it. There was no instant coffee. Yeah. There certainly wasn't any machines or coffee beans.
Not sure.
What was it? What was it with people in 1974 with a half a grapefruit and the half a cherry? Like, what the heck was going on?
I suppose it was a luxury that in those days of. That was your starter, and that was it.
Would you not have had a bowl of soup or maybe a prawn cocktail?
Oh, no. Jesus, cocktails weren't heard of at all. They would probably soup. No, I can't remember. No, I think there was as well.
Okay.
But you know what, I got my wedding dress, a bridesmaid's dress, a flower girl's dress, and a page boy suit made for £2 from a fantastic... a dressmaker. She lived out across the road from the Sunbeam.
Right.
She was brilliant because she made everyone's dress. Her name was Renee Lawton.
Right.
She was fantastic for £2.
How many guests did you add it all up though, I wonder, the whole cost? Like you said, you said the flower girl's dresses, the bridesmaid's dresses, the page boy suit and all that. Add that up.
Yeah, that's what I said, for £2.
Right.
Bought my material in Hickey's. Hickey's was there at that time, yeah. I forget now what that cost me. And then, would you believe me, I went to Spain on my honeymoon from Cork to Dublin in the train, which took 4 hours, up to Dublin. I flew out of Dublin at 12 o'clock to Benidorm for £10 for a week for two of us.
What were you earning, though, in 1974?
I was working in the Lee Boot, and I was earning 12 shillings and 50 pence, I suppose, at the time.
65p and 65 cent now, and, you know, when you do the calculation.
You know?
My God.
Yeah. And my limo was 5 shillings, and that time your limo went... from door to door. So my limo started in Blackpool from my nana, and it went from there out, collected a couple all around the south side and brought them all up to the north, up to the ground. For five, I still had that receipt actually.
For the limousine. So the limousine was a fiver, and a week in Ben El Medina was a tenner.
Yeah.
That's an expensive
five
limo.
Shillings. No, 5 shillings for the limo.
Oh, it says £5 on the screen here. It's 5 shillings.
Five shillings, sorry. And
pennies.
£10 for Spain.
My God. How many people at the wedding?
I do think, 50, I think. 50 then. Yeah. And that time, then you brought in your own drink and you took over the bar for the day. So I had a few uncles working on the docks. And they were able to get the drink for me, the wind whiskey and the brandy.
What, from the boats, is it? Or from the bonded warehouses?
From the boats, the posh boats. And then they were able to buy the drink. That was then, in those days, that you took over the bar yourself.
Your marriage, your wedding, right?
Yeah.
1974, for 50 guests. The food... cost €121, which in 1974 was less than a plate of food for one guest at a wedding now in 2024. You fed 50 guests for €121. Yeah. Euro.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It's insane.
Isn't that amazing? I'll be 50 years married this year, but I'm on my own because my husband passed away 15 years ago.
Oh, Mara's passed away. Oh, do you have a happy life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where'd you meet?
Good. Oh, sorry?
Where did you meet?
Where did I meet? I met in the Majorca in Crosshaven.
The Majorca, Crosshaven. Did you get the bus down to Majorca?
Oh, yes, for Joe Dolan.
And was he in there all dressed up like a box of chocolates? He was?
Oh, Joe Dolan?
Yeah, no, Morris.
Oh, no, no. Well, you know, that time, Neil, everybody went, every fella, the most of the fellas wore shirts and ties anyway, and suits.
They always looked dapper, didn't they?
Oh, stunning. And there was no drink in the dance hall. Then it was only just a bottle of orange, whatever. Some of them came in with the drink on them.
They did, yeah. They'd have a little bottle, or they'd be inside in Cronin's lofting pints.
Yeah.
Did you see him across the dance floor and your eyes locked?
Oh, from a distance. Yeah. From a distance.
I love it. Yeah. 1974. Yeah,
those were the days, yeah. You know, they were happy days, they were grand days, you know, but...
Did you have a band?
We did, that's right, just... Oh, did I have a band at the wedding? Oh, I did. I had Tony Stevens.
Oh, my God, Tony Stevens. He would have been top of his game then.
He worked with me to see in the Lee Boot, so he was handy.
Handy and handsome as well, and a great entertainer.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and he kept us all going all day.
Happy days.
That's who I had.
I have one final question, because I know I'm bombarding you with questions. It would have been out of the ordinary in 1974 to go to Spain on your honeymoon, would it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was, yeah. And I remember that, you know, when my father stood up to give a speech, my mother was telling him she was going to Spain. Here she was. Will you tell him she's going to Spain? Tell him.
Everybody else is going to Salt Hill or Belly Bunion.
Yes, Belly Bunion. Here, tell him. She's not even on the map yet. Here she was. So I'm all day long. All right, he says, I'll have to tell you how she's going to Spain. And you had a couple of guests. Where's that?
Yeah. Others are going up to Dublin for the weekend, visiting the Garden of Remembrance, hanging around O'Connell Street in a bed and breakfast.
Yeah. Sure, I went to Spain. Christ, I didn't know what Spain was all about, but it was handy. It was only £10.
That's right. What would you make of the cost? What do you make of it now? The cost of a wedding in Ireland could be 25,000 to 30,000, and it's 130 to 150 euro a plate.
Tell me about it, because I know my daughter's got married there a couple of 3 or 4 years ago. Ah, oh, Jesus Almighty.
They'd be better off eloping, you know that? Just elope.
Just go, yeah, whatever. You know, I think it should come back to those house weddings, or, you know, people just get married at home long ago. I know a lot of my aunts did. And, you know, it's all right. What about it?
Yeah, I mean... Traditions have changed now. I think the reason I was talking about this last week, right, was because this woman didn't tell the truth to the hotel, and she told them she was having a party, and she got the party for something like 120 people, much, much cheaper than if she had told them that it was a wedding. Do you know what I mean? A wedding, the price goes through the roof.
It does.
But anyway, yours is amazing. So you fed the entire 50 of them in 1974 for 121 euro and 30 cent.
Amazing.
And apart from the grapefruit with a half a cherry, you did a damn good job of it.
Didn't I though? Yeah. But that was lots of money to me, they consider, when I was only earning that amount.
Oh, everything is relative, absolutely. But you still did go to Spain, as your mammy pointed out.
I did. And my husband was only in the Princess class at the time. You know, so I mean, should we? You should have
All right, you did. Well done, Eileen. Well done. 1974, and you picked a damn good hotel as well. I think she said it was the Imperial. Let me go back to the phone. I'm going to stay with this, actually. I know, costs are relative, right? We're talking about, you know, 20, 30, 40 different years ago with regards to the cost of things back then. But if we can go to 1981. Phil, good morning.
Good morning.
The Pembroke Bar. I have a receipt here for the Pembroke Bar. What's that about?
The Imperial Hotel.
Right.
Again.
Okay. Oh, I see it. It's got the banquet and the food is down here. So what did you pay in 81?
420 euro.
For how many guests?
55. And there was a free drink for everybody. That was the toast.
God, what's the maths on that? If we looked at, how much is that per person? Five, four.
It said 360 euro, pounds, 15 pence, for the food.
For 55. What was the food? What did you serve?
I can't. All I can remember is baked Alaska.
You can only remember the dessert.
All I can remember. I can't remember anything else. I presume grapefruit. I can't remember.
I hope to God grapefruit was gone by the 80s. Surely be
I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember.
You can't remember the main course, no?
No. All I can remember is baked Alaska.
It's probably beef or salmon. Baked Alaska, that would have been fairly posh.
No, that's all I can remember now.
And there's a £45.64 here. What's banquet? Is that something else? Drink, maybe?
That was the free round of drinks. Because it says BR, that would be bar, £45.64.
So the entire wedding, everything totaled up, £420.
Yeah. We stayed that night then in the International Airport Hotel in Dublin because we were flying out at 8 o'clock the following morning, and our room with breakfast and we got sandwiches delivered that night was £36.45.
It was pricey enough, was it?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think that was a lot of money, the 420 for the entire wedding? At the time?
I don't think so.
No?
I can remember we lost, like when I was moving from home to my home now, I couldn't find my bank books. So it was, I'd say we were probably married a year or two when I came across the bank books. And I added up everything that we took out, say from a month or two before our wedding up until the time of the wedding. And it came to €4,356. So I'd have had deposits paid to everybody. And say a month or two then before the wedding, we paid everybody off. And that's how much I took out of the bank, $4,356.
For what?
I always remember that amount.
For what? What was the 4,000 for?
Well, the honeymoon.
Right.
So we went away. We went to Gran Canaria. So we didn't realise how cheap it was at the time. So we had a fortune with us, which we didn't need.
But if the wedding was 420... Why would you need to take out $4,000? Because you were buying a house,
the dresses,
right?
The dresses. The bridesmaids' dresses.
4,000
in
1981.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of money, isn't it? Like, you fed each of the guests. Each of the 55 guests was £7.60 each for the three course, or the four course.
Imagine that, yeah.
Amazing. I know. And imagine what would somebody been earning in 1981? Probably £40 or £50 a week, right?
I was in Peter Hagerty's. I think I was on about 60 something a month.
A month?
Maybe more. A month. We used to get paid by the month. 60. Yeah.
God, oh my. And how come you still have the people are sending me receipts of
them. I kept them.
Fair play to you. Okay, all right. Yeah. Just looking at some of the other ones that are coming in. You're 81 at €360 inside in the Imperial Hotel. Liam is 1984. I've got his wedding reception. He kept it as well. His was nearly $1,000. And he was 3 or 4 years later than you. I think he probably had twice as many. Well, yeah, he did. He had 120 at his wedding. You had 55.
Yeah, we both of us have small families.
I understand. Yeah. So that'd be the reason there'd be a big difference in price. And just one final question. Was there a bar there? Or what did you bring your own drink in? Or what was the story there?
Oh, no. Well, we just bought one free round for the toast. And that was it then. Everyone else got their, you got your own drink after that then.
And did you have to, you remember years ago you had to leave, the bride and groom left the wedding early, that kind of caper, I never understood that.
Sure, but we did, we finished, we got the 6 o'clock train to Dublin because we were flying out at 8 the following morning.
Why did people do that? Like, why didn't the bride and groom stay for their entire wedding and then go away in the morning?
But we didn't have a car then.
No, but you had to leave your own, remember years ago the bride and groom had to leave their own wedding? That seemed bizarre to me.
Yeah.
That was the way it was.
Our flight was 8 in the morning, so
I
got the 6 o'clock train to
to Dublin.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody else partied on without you. I'm delighted that people kept the receipts of their weddings going back along. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Eileen. Keep them coming. Text 0868 104 106. I know there were different times, but I can't get my head around the starter of half a grapefruit. Was that kind of like a palate refresher or something, to a palate cleanser, like the sorbet you might have these days? Back in the day, it was just to get you ready for the beef or the salmon or whatever. Well, here's a half a grapefruit to be getting on with. Your tonsils will thank you for it.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Can I just mention, I'll squeeze in as much as I can, but I'd hope to do this on Friday with Liam O'Higgin. I ran out of time. My sincerest apologies to him even again this morning. I saw there recently that over in Scandinavia, you're talking about nostalgia and the price of weddings in the 70s or the 80s, as we have been doing, people keeping their receipts. What games people played back in the day? I mention that because there's a bit of a hobby horse revolution sweeping Scandinavia at the moment. It involves hobby horses. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I hope Claire can hear me, but the photographs that I saw was somebody on what would be a broomstick, or the stick, the broom, the actual pole of a brush, and stuck on top of it is a horse's head. So that apparently is a hobby horse. It's literally the horse's head, not real now, not real, machia, stuck on a stick. And you slip it between your legs, as the fellow says, and you go scooting around. They have competitions now there for hobby horses to compete in competitions using the same rules as they would in actual real show jumping. And it's quite simple. It's very old school, right? But it's sweeping the boards, apparently, in Scandinavia. They're loving it. We were asking the question online, what were your old school time favourites that you used to play? And are any of them resurrectable, a bit like jumping up on the horse's head on the stick and going around and pretending you're in the Aga Khan or something? And people have been contributing online, but hopefully I'll get to that tomorrow. You could have been the king or the queen of the conquerors world back in the day, or marbles, or glacialis, as we used to call them, or games like that. So do text. Runaway knock was another favourite. Playing curbs. Remember that? You could play that all day with a ball off the curbs of the footpath. Anyway, I won't say any more about it for now. We'll revisit it tomorrow. Games that people played back in the day. The hobby horse revolution is amongst us now. We got Monday Munchies, courtesy of ourselves in Luso. Morning to everybody. Independent Express Cargo in Little Island. Northside Tires in the Mallow Road. Building Stones out in Dripsy. Smurfit Kappa in Toker listening. Capwell Bus Station. Morning to Paul and everybody working hard. Cargoline Cheese. Miss Daly's Room in Drina National School. Keary's on the Limerick Road in Mallow would love cake. Premier Auto Parts and Tires in Palladough for the same. They need sugar. The Alzheimer's Society in Blackrock are listening and would love to share. Anderlift Safety Services in the O'Malley Road. Considine Power Washing and Painting in Cloyne. Morning to Philip and Rory and Kevin and Danny and Pa. Cork Flower Studios in Douglas Street. Customer Care Easy Living Interiors in Little Island. And Street Angels Homeless Group based in the city. They would share the cake with our homeless friends. Everybody at Cove YMCA, Bespoke Wedding Ceremonies, RKD in Blackpool, Shane's Hair Design in Douglas, My Cork GP in Douglas, Amare Wig Specialist Dell in Ovens, Crazy Monkey in Douglas, and Amberley Nursing Home in Fermoy, and the ISPCA Equine Rescue Centre in Mallow. All listening. It's up to Claire now to pick a winner for Monday Munchies, courtesy of ourselves in Luso Cork, the most delicious, big, big, tasty cake from Luso and Ballincollig will be delivered by Red Patrollers this lunchtime. So we'll pick a winner in a few minutes' time. For all of the business, we'll return in the morning, but a fast one before we go. Coleman Hennessy. Coleman, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Neil.
How are you, buddy? Back in the day when we used to loft a few pints in, say, for instance, the Fox and Hounds, we were out in the RI,
yes.
And then the bloody Holy Hour would come in and we'd want another pint. So we would have... We'd all pile into a car and we'd head out to the stirrup because there was no holy hour in the stirrup.
That's right, yeah. And out of the dockers from Cork City used to come out as well.
We were all part-time customers for the holy hour. How did you feel about that?
Oh, sure, we were delighted with it, to be honest with you. At the time, it was a great boost to the pub, wasn't it?
Yeah, people don't remember the holy hour, I'd say. A lot of people didn't realise that pubs had to close at 2:30.
I actually remember, Neil, on a couple of occasions, like when there would have been, you know, say if Cork won in All-Ireland or something, that we actually, on a couple of occasions, had to close the door because there was literally no room inside for there was too many people there, and the lads, when they came out for the holy hour, they actually couldn't get a drink. Happened in a couple of times.
They were different days, weren't they? And tell me, different prices as well, right?
Yeah, well, see, because I remember I was 17 at the time in 74, so I can remember it, like, because there was a manuscript there for Smith's wholesalers there. Noel Maloney there from Hoist Crassville, we was christening him Rocky Maloney because he had a dog called Rocky, and he's come down with the dog for a few points a couple of nights a week. And how I can remember, how I can relate to it is because it was 26 pence a pint that time, and I used to give him 4 pints for a pound. So, you know, and then I used to give him the first one, and I put the 3 matches on top of the till, and each time then when he'd have a pint, I'd throw the match into the bin so that I'd know, keep account of it. And
that was an Irish way of running a tab.
And so he'd give me the pound first, and then I'd give him the first pint, and then I'd, each time he'd have a pint, I'd throw the match into the bin, and he'd give him the dog Rocky, the dog, Cocker Spaniel. I used to give him a bag of taters for luck.
So Rocky the man got 4 pints, and Rocky the dog got, and probably pub crisps as well, the extra big bags back in the day.
Jesus, well, all the portions are getting smaller now.
They are getting smaller.
The prices are going up, and the portions are getting smaller. Yeah,
yeah. And your granddad could go back. I mean, your granddad would go way back in the stirrup before you guys, wouldn't he have?
No, well, my granddad actually came from where the, you know, the Turner's Cross Retail Park.
Yeah?
That was my granddad's farm there. They had a small farm there. My grandmother then had a shop inside in Grand Prairie called the Shamrock. But my granddad would have said to me when I was a young lad that he could get 6 points, like, to put it relatively for the age he was, like, he got medal for his contribution to the War of Independence in the Tan War, you know, from the President of Ireland. So he would have been, he'd be probably born late 1800, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he could get, he told me he could get 6 pints for 2 and 6.
Well, he could get 48 pints for a pound.
Yes, because it was like 6 pints for 2 and 6. He could get 24 pints for a 10 shilling note, or 48 pints for a pound.
What was, did he drink in Turner's Cross then, was it?
Yes, exactly. My God, listen, you're like a prophet.
No, he had a farm in Turner's Cross. So, I thought he drank locally.
Go away, all that. Yes, I didn't. Well, his pub was the Mountain Bar, you know, it's still open.
Still there. And are you still in the stirrup, Coleman?
Well, it's let in apartments now to the local nursing home. It's not open at the moment because my brother deceased there a couple of years ago.
To hear that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no bother, sir.
Because over the years, the stirrup got bigger and bigger as a pub.
Yeah, well, you know, we closed there at the time of COVID, and then my brother got cancer, and sure, you know, one thing led to another.
I know.
Maybe in the future again, like, but just at the moment we don't, because my mother is old and she needs a lot of help as well, like, so.
I haven't been out that neck of the woods in a long, long time. I hope you're all keeping well.
If you come out someday, I'll show you around, Neil, because I tell you, there's a lot of things after changing out here with the width of the roads, and you were talking about a woman there, the oldest woman in Ireland. She was born out in Glenville. I'll show you all that if you come out someday.
I'd love to catch up with you. I haven't seen you in an age. I'm glad to hear you're keeping well. I'll get in touch.
We go back a long, long time, Neil.
We do,
pal. My brother Larkin, who our good buddy is.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Very sorry to hear that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I was talking to Chris Toomey the other day. He was an old friend of yours.
Sorry, there was somebody hitting me on talk back there. Who are you talking to?
I was talking to Chris Toomey in my brother's shop the other day. He was a flatmate of yours listening back.
We shared one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. He'd be mortified to hear it, but just an all-round great guy. Worked in Coco's, worked in the Old Vic, worked in the Victoria Hotel. Ran the biggest club in Cork back in the day, Coco. It was a great bit of stuff.
A great guy.
Yeah. And so are you, Coleman. I wish I had more time. Listen, thanks for getting in touch. We'll hook up soon, though. We certainly will, all right?
for certain.
Mind yourself.
Enjoy time,
you. You too. That family, the Hennessy family, some of the nicest people you would ever meet, every single one of them, one nicer than the next. That's the great Coleman Hennessy, regards to him. Gotta love you and leave you for the day that's in it. We'll pick it up in the morning. Claire's a winner for me. Monday Munchie's winner for Luso. The most delicious cake. You're going to demolish it. All of us here at Anderlift Safety Services in the Old Mallow Road would make light work of that lovely treat. We're chock-a-block with safety courses today, and we'll share this great prize with the hard-working course instructors and participants, says Jackie. Love to know what you do. Is it, I mean, what, you help people how to lift boxes carefully, is it, or lift loads, or is it big trucks and all sorts of equipment, or what's the deal? But whatever you're doing, enjoy it. Oh no, it's those big, huge, massive lift equipments with the telescopic arms and everything. Here was I, was a course to help people to lift a box straight, not damage their back. My sincerest apologies. I'm mortified. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.